Previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
Bill Hillman is one of Chicago's very own, and he's got a big old hole in his leg now. Bill wrote the book, How to Survive the Running with the Bulls. He's done it 70 or so times at various towns. And we just want to check in with him again and make sure he's okay, because I consider Bill our friend, and he's turning into a legend here. On a pain level of 1 to 10, what are we at today?
I'm at like a zero, really. The morphine's feeling, you know, working real well.
All right. So the Spanish morphine, you'd recommend it?
Oh, yeah, man. It's great. Incredible.
Okay, guys. On your mark.
Live from the city that works.
Get set.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Don't tell me about it. Do it.
On 720 WGN.
Good morning, 511 720 WGN Chicago. Hour one of the Steve Cochran Show. Andrea Darlis, Dave Ennett, Kevin Powell, Vic Vaughn, Mary Vandeveld, and Nick DiGilio's back.
Hey.
All is right in the world. Nick and Mary are back.
Yes.
Yeah. We missed you guys.
I missed you guys too.
It was you had a good birthday, obviously. Happy belated
had a fun,
birthday.
Had a fun
happy
birthday.
Birthday.
Thank you.
Very
Thank
nice.
You. What'd you do for excitement?
Yeah.
I mean, the night before my birthday, I went to go see Dave Matthews at the Northerly Island place, which is a real pain in the neck to get to, by the way.
I'm glad you brought this up, because after this, I have a concert question for you.
Okay.
Okay.
That was great. And so I officially started celebrating at midnight after the show.
Yeah.
You know how that works. It was my birthday, so I started celebrating.
Of course. I do the same thing at midnight.
Yep.
Have a drink.
Yep.
And start celebrating.
Yep.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
you
used to.
Do you really?
I used to. Until
you get up at 3 in the morning?
35.
I don't think so. Oh,
you kidding me? No, I don't do anything. That's part of my concert question.
I went to, and then my parents took me to have some good burgers on my birthday.
Nice, nice.
At the Burger Boss. Do you know the Burger
Boss? I've heard of the Burger. I know there's all
there's
these like,
two of them.
Burger Point.
There's one on Southport near Belmont in the city.
Okay.
We went to the one in Oak Park.
It was good.
Terrific burgers. I had a blue cheeseburger with caramelized onions and mushrooms.
Is this like a make your own, you know?
Well, you can add, but I looked at the ingredients of the blue cheeseburger, and I went, yeah, that sounds good to me.
Love me some
hand cut fries. And here's the thing that I love about burger places, I love that when burger places offer malt vinegar for the fries.
I like that too, and I also this is really a snobby thing to say. I also like when they put a little bit of like truffle oil on it,
sure,
or some shredded cheese.
It's hand cut fries; they're fresh at this place, and they've got some sea salt on them, and they offer the malt vinegar.
The vinegar.
So I was real happy about it. My dad looked at me like I was insane when I put the vinegar on the fries, because he doesn't eat fish and chips or anything
Yuppie.
Like that. He doesn't know that it's an English or an Irish tradition to put malt vinegar on fries when you order fish and chips.
Sure.
You know, it goes all over the fish.
He's
it goes all over the fries.
Doing?
He's like, what are you doing with a bottle of vinegar? What are you, crazy? And I'm like, hey, it's my birthday, man. Leave me alone.
Not my son. And you saw Dave Matthews. You liked the concert.
I did. It was a great, great show.
All right. I've never seen a concert at Northerly Island.
Yeah.
And it's good venue.
It's okay.
Hard to get to,
Let
right?
me just, it's a pain in the ass to get to. I will say that. It is literally a 4.5 mile walk from where
the Red
I was.
Line. Yeah.
I don't like that.
It's long, you know. And, you can see it, and you're like, "Oh, there it is! It's right behind
it's
Museum
right by
the, Campus.
It's right by Adler Planetarium.
Right by Burnham Harbor.
Yep.
Great, yeah. But you're right, though. You have to walk all the way
it's
around.
It's insane. I walked all the way around the harbor, and then I was underneath where I was supposed to be. You know how on top?
Yeah, yeah.
I was on the harbor below, walking by the boats, and I was like, "Where the hell am I?"
And you got to go around to the left.
Exactly what I had to do. I actually climbed like a hill. And went over a big cement wall just so I could get up to
now,
where
if you
was.
Are there any directions around?
No,
no,
no, it's
nothing.
Though, man,
seriously.
Like, I haven't been to
like
a concert there
fishermen.
Either.
I haven't either, and I'm dying to go. We'll have to go see.
I'm surprised more people don't fall
Kesha,
in, you know?
Whoever's going.
Wandering around.
So here's my question. So I went and saw Lady Gaga on Friday at United
I'm sorry.
Center. I know. I knew. You know, it was funny. I was running this through my head this morning thinking, oh, I got it. Actually, yesterday, I'm thinking, oh, I got to talk to Nick about this.
About Lady Gaga?
And I knew that was going to be the reaction, but it was a great show. I don't go to a ton of concerts anymore.
Yeah.
I used to love to go, I mean, at least a concert a month, you know, and I haven't.
I don't go to concerts that often either.
I think I realized why, though, and I don't think it's I'm getting too old, but unless maybe this is the reason. But, okay, I would say I was the median age, literally, because it was young kids, and there was a lot of, you know, couples. There was a lot of young gay men, Lady Gaga, and then there was a whole like senior citizen type group, like doing girls' night. You know
what?
Lady Gaga?
You guys, I'm not kidding you. I would definitely say 60 plus.
Weird.
There was a whole slew, and I knew because I went and got I went and got a drink, and I was waiting for my friend. She used the restroom, and I sat down, and there was an elderly man sitting next to me dozing. Dozing in, as you, you know, the chairs that before you go into the concert.
Probably didn't want to hear
so here's, no, so, oh, no, it's true. So here's my question. So the concert was supposed to start at 7:30.
Yeah.
So I knew.
Was there an opening act?
There were two, sort of. There was a dance group that was on Channel 9 earlier that day. It was four Korean women, and they were just dancing. So you heard, like, the house music, the boom, boom, okay. boom, boom, boom. So that was about an hour. Then they had Lady Gaga's DJ, who I swear is a dead ringer for Patty Vasquez. They had Lady Gaga's DJ come out and spin tunes for an hour. But not, she was just, it was the same boom, boom.
The last
boom,
the
boom.
Last time I saw Madonna, and that should be a sentence that people should write down. The last time I saw Madonna.
Cue that up. Remember that, Kevin.
was at the UC.
Okay.
I had fantastic seats. And the opening act was a DJ.
Really?
Yeah, and all they did as soon as he came out and they started spinning records, I went out and got more beer. I just sat out in the lobby.
But how long was the opening band?
Hour.
Okay, an
the
hour.
Guy, the guy played
Lady,
an hour.
Lady Gaga came on at 9:45, performed for an hour and a half. So, but my question
Wait,
is...
Wait, that's it?
That is it. 90 minutes. And she had a bunch of costume changes. It was high energy. It was a good show.
Madonna played almost 3 hours.
See, and that's okay. So this whole, I guess there's different facets to this too. Why, if it says 7:30, and you always know there's going to be an opening band, so figure an extra half hour,
Dave didn't
40
have an
minutes.
Opening band.
Why does everybody have to have opening bands now? Why are there so many opening bands? I mean, it should say on the ticket, Lady Gaga will come on at 9:45. You know, because you're sitting there, and I know
I've seen Dave Matthews. That was my 36th Dave Matthews show on Saturday. Yeah, 36.
Are you going for a record?
No, man, I'm not even close. Okay. I'm not even close to the hardcore fans who he's got a following like the dead.
He's like the Elton John has seen Elton John like 165
yeah. And there
times
are people who just go across. My ex-brother-in-law was there, and I met up with him. We hung out for a while.
Yeah.
And it was like his 60th show.
Boy.
Yeah. So,
that's a lot. Yeah,
I don't get that.
Well, here's the thing. The thing about Dave is that it's a different set every night. He does not play the same set.
See, I love that.
Like,
I love when
he played on the 4th of July.
Uh-huh.
And I went online and I checked the set list to see what he wouldn't be playing on the 5th, the night I went.
No kidding.
Yeah, were a couple of songs on there that I was like, damn it, he played it on the 4th, he won't play it on the 5th.
I like when they mix it up.
It's a different, I'm not kidding when I say it's a different set every night. Maybe if he's got a new album to promote, he'll play one or two of the same songs from the new album.
So he says, so it says 7:30, he comes out at 7:30.
Well, not always. He sometimes has an opening act. This tour, he comes out at 7:30, does an acoustic set with the band, with bongos and stuff.
And then
leaves, takes a break, and then comes out with the full band.
All right, see, that's what I would rather have. I'm not an opening band fan unless it's a double bill. Like, whoever's opening for whoever. Well, Sheryl Crow's opening for, I guess, because she's a big enough name where.
Yeah. Well, I saw Dave does that a lot. I saw Willie Nelson and Family open up for Dave.
Yeah, see, that's cool.
I saw Buddy Guy open up for Dave.
I just don't think the opening band really warms up the crowd and gets you into it, because I think everybody around me, and again, it's different ages, so I'm not acting like an old lady. We're like, come on.
Real quick, let me tell you this story.
Yeah.
The British rock band UFO, one of my favorite bands of all time, they released a record called Strangers in the Night back in the early 80s. It was recorded here in Chicago. No.
Okay.
It was recorded here in Chicago at the Eld Amphitheater.
Okay.
And they broke up sometime after that. And hard rock fans, that album is it's the mecca.
Okay.
It's the greatest live album ever recorded to classic rock fans. They broke up. They didn't tour for a long time. In 1993, which would have been about 13 years after the record came out, they toured. And they did two nights at the Riviera. My friends and I went to both nights. And everybody who was there was so wanted them to come out on stage. It had been 13 years since the record came out.
What happened?
And they bring out an opening act. And you got to understand, UFOs fans are sort of drunken, long-haired white guys who smoke pot. That's pretty much that's.
I can't wait to hear what they did.
So this band comes out, and I can't even remember the name of them. They come out, and immediately, they're on stage for 5 seconds. They start a song. The entire audience, UFO, UFO, UFO. And they start booing, and then the lead singer made a big mistake. He confronted the audience.
Oh, yeah.
And that was it. They started throwing beer at him. It was the worst experience I've ever seen an opening act.
It's
horrible. I felt bad for him. I felt bad for these guys. I go to the second show.
Different band.
No, same thing.
Same thing happened. Why would you do that?
Don't know.
See?
If I were in that band, I'm not coming back tomorrow night.
I'm telling you, just a note to all the big name artists out there, don't have an opening band, or if you have the opening band, maybe five songs.
Five or six songs, and then
it doesn't warm up the crowd. It gets everybody
The
mad.
Really stupid thing about the way that that band behaved, they ended up leaving after two songs. They did like two songs. They were going to start a third. They walked off stage. Now, that doesn't mean, and these knuckleheads who threw stuff at him and booed him off the stage, that doesn't mean UFO's coming out earlier.
Oh, no.
They're coming out when their contract says they're coming out. So there was another extra hour and 15 minutes of nothing on stage.
All right. Concert etiquette, 5:20. We'll come back, finish this up a little bit, because I know everyone wants to jump in a little bit with this. Great. 525.
Wow. I'm sorry.
You guys haven't heard the intro.
No, I haven't heard it.
This is the Wiley You Were Sleeping segment.
It's so relaxing. I felt like I was in the dentist's office.
Skaggs is nuts. Skaggs is certifiable. He's brilliant, but he's certifiable. God, that's funny. That's so funny.
Oh, so these are some of the headlines. If you guys, you guys were out of town. Taste of Chicago for the first time in years and years and years and years and years and years. First time since I can remember. Closed because of all the heavy rains. And they said Sunday was a much better day. They made up some sales from Saturday. But it was so hot over the weekend. I mean, even after the rain. I know you guys. Nick, you were in town. I worked on Saturday. Yeah, you were. So you were here.
Yeah, I was here.
You were back, Mary. You were in.
I was at a wedding in Lake Geneva on Saturday, and it actually rained during the ceremony, and they had to stop it.
It was outside.
Yes.
Oh, that's brutal.
But it was beautiful. It was during the sermon too. I mean,
don't you love that during the wedding? But everyone always goes, but it was beautiful. There was a monsoon,
but it was beautiful. They did get married. It happened.
I know.
Right? Wow.
All right, some quick headlines that were happening over the weekend. In case you missed it, as I said, the Taste had closed. It reopened on Sunday. Our thoughts and prayers going out to the family of former State Representative Ken Gray. He's passed away at the age of 89. The crisis continues to escalate in the Middle East. Now thousands of Gaza civilians leaving after Israel sent those pamphlets out, issued warnings saying that more strikes are imminent. And Brian Harman wins the John Deere Classic. I thought Steve Stricker was going to take that. He did not. Zach Johnson comes in second. And, of course, Germany wins the World Cup. Good. Now we can put that story to bed. Bye-bye, World Cup, till
4 years.
Oh, I'm going to miss it a little bit.
Yeah, I know. Belgium.
Yeah.
Belgique. First Look at Business, sponsored by First American Bank. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yeah, and for Big O, excuse me, he's on his way back. Should be flying back from the Baltic cruise as we speak, I think. Stock futures pointing toward a higher open today. Dow futures up 59. The NASDAQ are up 19.5. And the S&P 500 up about 7. Earnings reports coming out this week. Only one big one today. That's from Citigroup. It'll come out before the opening bell. Then tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday, a bunch more of the banks and some of the other big companies reporting as well. If you love shopping at Crate and Barrel, you have Barbara Turf to thank. Barbara Turf, who grew up in Chicago's West Side and started as a part-time saleswoman at Crate and Barrel in 1967, retired in 2012 as CEO. And she died on Saturday of pancreatic cancer at the age of 71. A statement from Crate & Barrel said her impeccable eye for style, trend, and design defined the merchandising and marketing vision of Crate & Barrel. It would not be the company it is without Barbara Turf. High-level Yahoo executive is being sued in California by a woman who's accusing her former boss of sexual harassment and wrongful termination. Yon, you might think, just another case of some lecherous old lout who thought women working for him were there just for his personal pleasure. Nope. Executive being sued is a woman. Stock futures, again, pointing toward a higher open. Crude oil's down 41 cents, $100.42 a barrel. At the Chicago Board of Trade, wheat right now is 0.75 cents higher. Corn is trading down another 2 cents, 3.82 3/4 cents right now. Soybeans are up 2 1/4 cents at 10.77. And gold is down big time this morning, down about $14 an ounce right now, 13.23. That's your money on 720 WGN.
And we'll have news next on WGN. Good morning, 540, 720 WGN, hour one of the Steve Cochran Show. I'm Andrea Darlis. We have a huge show planned for you today. Anna Bolivar is going to be with us, Attorney General Lisa Madigan in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Pat Hughes, we're going to be giving away some Cubs tickets as well. And speaking of giving away and free things, we thought we'd have Roger German on this morning, the executive director of The Shed. Morning, Rog.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Do you know, of course you know, but I don't think people know that the Shed has more free days than any other museum in Chicago.
Well, we've got a lot of free days, 52 every year, and it's a great time to come out, save on the wallet, and enjoy an incredible aquarium right here in our backyard.
You could go once a week, basically, if you wanted to.
In essence, yeah. So what we ended up doing is many years ago, we repackaged our free day program. So, you know, they're during times that aren't like long lines at our front door. So it's not once a week, that set week that many of us grew up with here in Chicago. But definitely go to the website, check it out, what the next free days are. I think they start up again after Labor Day.
One of my favorite things to do, I don't know if you guys have ever gone to the Jazzin' at the Shed on Wednesday nights. It is a blast. Brad, tell us about Jazzin'. You guys just started it 2 weeks ago, right?
Well, yeah. So for the 20th season, so 2 weeks ago it kicked in. Uh-huh. It's awesome because it's, you know, you can come after work. You can have a nice refreshing beverage of your choice, depending on your age. You sit outside, along the lakefront. We have the best view in town, as you know.
I agree.
The skyline. And then on Wednesday night, you get to end the evening with the fireworks over Navy Pier. So who doesn't want to come out and just enjoy summer in the city of Chicago at the aquarium?
Yeah, I think truly best view of the skyline, hands down. And this is such a cool event. I love going, once or twice a summer. And it's every Wednesday. And as you said, Raj, great view. The food is great. It's always different eclectic meals. And some of the best music that you can hear sitting outside at night and in summer in Chicago.
Yeah, that's what I think. We try to look. Chicago is so rich in music and culture. And so you've got this, the Great Shed Aquarium where you can kind of hang out. And, we work with a lot of the jazz blues bands here in the city of Chicago. Give them a venue to, be able to play. And it's just a great time. Great kind of summer tradition. It's hard to believe that this is our 20th anniversary, but we're excited to host folks this summer as well.
What's the latest exhibit that you guys have going right now?
So the newest one, which opened up last year, but it's only around for the summer runs and the summer program, is our Stingray Touch program.
Right.
That's a new exhibit which is outside. Come out and touch a stingray. Again, beautiful, gorgeous venue, and it's a great time.
Okay, wait. Have the stingers been removed? How is this okay?
Yes. So the parts, so we use cow nose rays, the puppy dogs of the ray family. But the barbs are removed. They're kind of like fingernails to you and I, and we just kind of clip them off, make sure everybody's safe and able to touch a ray. So it's an enjoyable time for everybody.
Are the jellyfish still there? Or are they gone, Raj?
Jellyfish are still there. Oh, this is their last year.
Love the jellyfish. I know people have not yet seen the jellyfish. You have to see the jellyfish too.
Yeah, last year, last run for jellies at the aquarium. And, it's always changing. That's the thing, too. So with a living collection, and especially in the jellies, some jellies only live 90 days, and we'll make sure that, we give them a good life for those 90 days. But, we may replace it with another one. So even if you think you've seen jellies, come on back down because there may be some new, very cool, exotic, unique, alien-looking species around.
There was a great feature on CBS Sunday Morning yesterday about the jellies.
Oh,
it was terrific.
They're beautiful. Yeah. And the setup is really cool. I don't want to give too much away if you haven't seen it, but there's a portion where it's dark and you can see them glowing. Mm-hmm. It is truly magnificent to see these. And the stingray. Hey, Raj, if we go to the Jazzin', can you get in to see the other exhibits too, like the stingrays?
Yeah, so the entire aquarium stays open later. There's a few things that shut down at certain times, but the reality is that the aquarium's open until 10 p.m., so it's a great way to come out and check out the animals in a different time of day, too. I always love going in early in the morning or staying late at night, because sometimes the animals will act a little bit differently, based on life cycles and things like that. So it's cool to check out.
And the ambience is great, too. There's nothing better, like we said, than sitting outside, having a nice adult beverage, listening to some music, and watching the view of the skyline and those fireworks at the Shed.
It's a fun summer tradition for sure.
You got it. Thank you, Raj. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you. Sounds good.
You got it. Roger German, Executive Director of the Shed Aquarium. And we got to do a girls' night out there, Mayor. Well, you guys can come,
too. Thanks.
Well, you guys come
appreciate that.
No, we always, we pick a
okay,
we do
Nick
a
and I are going to have boys' night out there.
Right.
How about that?
That's right.
No, why don't we do a class field trip? We'll all go to the Shed. Dave, you come, too. Come on. It'll be fun.
Okay.
We'll watch the fireworks. We'll go see the jellies. But, yeah, take advantage of that if you can. ShedAquarium.org is their website. 52 free days a year. So take advantage of that.
551, Steve Cochran Show continues now. Show number 208. And Paul Conrad is live at Channel 9. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, great. Yourself?
Your microphone sounds terrible.
Does it? It does sound a little clanky, doesn't it?
Well, it sounds like you're in a can.
Let me try this. Is that any better?
Not even close. All right, we'll struggle through. So each Monday when you're on, right before you go on TV, you do some sort of hand signal to us.
Right.
Have you gotten in trouble for that?
No. Are you kidding? There's not one person in management around here who is awake or watching this channel before, I would say, noon.
Your mic just got better. I don't know what you did, but it just got
better. I'm glad that got straightened out. Management's probably listening.
Okay, something we did, apparently. So nobody knows. Does Larry Word, for instance, who runs our television company, does Larry know you work there?
No.
He's not even aware you're on the show.
Pretty good chance he doesn't even know who I am.
Okay. Well, that's depressing. Well, all right. Well, let's move on to something.
It takes some pressure off of me, though. That's the beauty of it.
That's a very good point. Did you know about your work?
Introducing myself to people around here. Like, the only guy who knows me is a security guard, which is.
Well, how many years have you worked there?
18.
Nick, how long have you worked at Tribune / GN?
Total?
Yeah.
It'll be 30 years next year.
How about you, Andre?
I will be 17 in November.
Dave?
I started 30 years ago this fall, but then I left for a few years and came back.
That's Steve?
7.
Boy.
And I got 12 months in September. but if you count the first 10 years, I guess it's 11. So
I have almost 18.
18 for Marion. Welcome back to you, by the way.
Thank you.
I've got 2.
Disappointing as usual. Oops.
So the reason I bring it up, Paul, is part of the reason we have you on is so people can get to know you a little better.
Oh,
so on this beautiful weekend that we just had, what did you do?
Well, I sat through 3 baseball games. My son's games yesterday.
When you say sat through 3 games, it doesn't sound like you thoroughly enjoyed the experience.
No. It was a little, muggy. I think 8 hours at any ballpark is a little much.
Do you have a rain delay?
No, I wish. I was praying for rain. I was praying for anything. Come through.
Is your son listening?
No, thank God he's still asleep.
Okay.
And when he does wake up, he's a big Eric and Kathy kid.
Actually, he is a WGN radio listener.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So how old is he now?
I'm going to say he's 11.
Okay, so he's playing Little League where the kids pitch then, right?
Oh, yeah.
So what position does he play?
He's either in center field or second base.
Depending on where he stands?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes he plays a real deep second base.
All right, so he doesn't pitch because one of the real tough things to watch, and I coached all those years, but one of the real tough things to watch is when your kid pitches and he throws 1,200 balls in a row.
And you're swearing at him from the stands. You suck! Get him out of there!
That's a real shocker that he does that considering he doesn't even know his son's age.
Yes.
He approximated the age.
And the position. How did he play in his 3 games?
Oh, beautifully.
Did he get any hits?
Yeah. Had some nice big hits. I missed a couple of them. I was...
Dozing.
I think I might have been trying to clean my car out at one point. I took my other 3 kids there also. So, I'm chasing them around, because kids love to sit in the stands for 8 hours.
Where was your mail order bride, Inga?
The problem with her is her English is so bad, she misunderstood everything, and so she was at some salon getting her hair done.
Oh.
Meanwhile, I'm out there.
So you're out there in the heat with the kids.
Oh,
so the kids stayed out there for 3 games?
3 games, yeah.
There had to be a revolt at some point.
There was going to be.
How much did you spend on concessions?
I have no idea. I just gave them my credit card and said, call me when it's over.
Well, it sounds like you had a great time.
It was so much fun. I can't wait for next weekend, hoping that we can do something like that again.
Now, did the younger kids play T-ball?
Yeah, they did, but thank God their season's over.
Yeah,
that ended.
Because there's nothing longer. As a matter of fact, this has been scientifically measured. There's nothing longer than a T-ball game.
Well, I would like to argue maybe my daughter's softball games.
Similar?
Very similar. There were a couple times that it felt longer than the T-ball games.
See, we used to have a rule in T-ball. When the child appears to be emotionally damaged enough, he no longer has to try to hit.
When the memory has been seared into his brain, it'll be able to tell the story when he's 40. That
the ball is right here. It's right here.
Crazy dad's yelling from the stands. You suck! Put him down in the dugout. We don't need this.
At T-ball at one point, I actually had a dad yell to his son, just pick it up and throw it.
You think any T-ball stands have thrown a no-hitter?
Oh, yeah. T-ball stands, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. We got to a point in T-ball where we had a rule where if you hit the tee twice, it was a double. Just to move the game along. And the best part about T-ball at that age, Paul, you know this, is the kids don't know which way to run.
Right.
So they'll run in the wrong direction. Or, in a couple cases, they'll stop and they'll lay down on their back and they'll look up and they'll tell you which cloud looks like a bunny.
Yeah. That and having the 30 parents in the infield is a fun treat also.
Which flower to
pick. Yes.
Weeds.
Right. We had a girl, the fastest human being I've ever seen. Ran to first beautifully, cut the corner beautifully, headed for second base, stopped on a dime, sat down, and played in the dirt. Yeah. Just right in between first and second. We're all yelling, go, go! Why?
Sosa used to do that.
Why?
Sosa used to do that, didn't he?
Ramirez.
Yeah,
Ramirez. He'd just stop.
That's right, because Sosa would either never make it to first or he'd hit a home run.
Well, Sosa had to call his dealer. Allegedly. Well, Paul, I'm sorry you didn't have a great weekend.
It was great. It really was great.
Nick just took his first vacation in 30 years.
No. My first vacation was last November.
Oh, that's right.
That was my first vacation in, like, first paid vacation.
But what he doesn't understand, Paul, is that people, when they take vacations, leave town.
Yeah.
I made it to my fridge a couple times.
There's something nice about that, though, also. If you can get the family out of the way and just be able to sit in your house by yourself.
I don't like the tone of get the family out of the way. I don't like the way.
Get them out of the way. Send them off somewhere.
This sounds like a Law and Order episode to me.
Disneyland or something.
Right. So, Paul, the main reason you work and make the money you make is to get rid of your family.
No, not necessarily get rid of them, but to provide space for me to grow and mature by myself.
How's that working out?
Perfect.
Because
you had a lot of space on Saturday.
Oh, I had a ton of space.
Well, what happened on Saturday?
It was the T-ball
game. Oh, I thought that was yesterday. No. Sunday. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I'm glad that we had a chance for the audience to get to know you and like you less.
Well, listen, I do everything I can.
All right. So
honest around here.
All right. So now I know you're preparing to be on television.
Yeah.
So when people turn on Channel 9 now, they're going to see who's at the anchor desk this morning.
I have no idea who's on the anchor desk today.
Aaron and Larry.
This is Demetrius here in the background. Aaron and Larry are in
there. Hey, ask Demetrius what his real name is.
Steve Cochran wants to know what your real name is. Really? I'd have to kill him.
Yeah, he can't say it on the air.
Did he just say he'd have to kill me?
Yeah.
And please. Come on.
Tickles McCoy.
All right. Well, that's fair. That seems realistic. All right. So what move will you make when we see you on TV to acknowledge us?
Oh, the show's starting right now.
Mm-hmm, I guess.
Let's go with an ear pinch.
An ear pinch. All right.
On three.
Here we go. With an ear pinch. Here we go.
An ear pinch.
The WGN News.
It's like Carol
so he's going to say he's Carol Burnett.
Yeah, it's like
well, that's a tug.
He's just going to pinch it?
Yeah, he's going to pinch his ear.
How do we even know he's going to pinch it? We can't feel it.
Well, we're going to have to just trust him. We're watching the highlight package that opens the news. Aaron in a lovely green. Larry in
it. Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Yeah. Nice. Very nice.
And he went with the ear pinch. It's really part of the enjoyment and the synergy between WGN Radio and WGN TV that we ask you to turn on the TV and watch Paul do things like the monkey that we ask him to be.
Next thing, let's have him talk at the Walter White goatee.
Yeah. Like rub his goatee like he's thinking of something.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
2 weeks ago when I was on, he squeezed his banana.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, we saw it.
What?
Oh, yeah.
He squeezed his banana 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Did you guys miss that?
And it made my out of context, by the way. Paul made the out of context.
I was going to say, Mary and I both made that dirty.
Yeah.
The other thing was that I bruised it and squeezed
You bruised it while you were squeezing it.
Yeah. Disappointing later on.
That'll happen.
Squeeze too hard.
Hey, how'd you do in the Walter White lookalike contest before you shaved the goatee?
I had third place going.
Okay.
But I cleaned myself up a little bit. You know, I was just wasn't trying to shave it off. I was just trying to trim. Have you ever tried to trim a beard?
Yeah. Not mine. but yes. All right, listen, I got to go, but okay. Have a great day. I appreciate you being on, and thanks for the uplifting Little League report.
Listen, the pleasure was all mine.
All right, there you go.
All my love.
I love you, too.
Bye-bye. I'll see you when we get home.
I'll see you when we get home.
It's always creepy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's never not creepy. Yeah. What are you doing today?
Nothing.
What are you doing tonight on your show?
I don't know. My producer's out of town.
Okay.
So we haven't had a powwow for the show yet.
You might be getting too comfortable.
Uh-oh, really?
Well, you just go on for a week, you come back, you have no idea what you're doing on the air.
I knew what I was doing on my first show back.
I heard you talking, speaking of the banana thing, I heard you talking about the monkey movie today.
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet it is.
It's almost as good as Godzilla.
Yeah, not seen either one.
I know.
You know what I would love? I would love to see Godzilla and Planet of the Apes, and they kill each other. And then there's no way to have sequels.
I would love to see it, and I would love to see that combination, and they all live.
Yeah, I bet you would. It's my friend Nick. We don't disagree on much, but that one we do. all right, buddy. Get some sleep.
You got it.
Back with your news right now, as a matter of fact. That's how fast we are. And we are live. We are local. We are social media since 1924. Bad customer service at Starbucks, add later. Also, I just think if you're going to be, you want to pay. If you want to be treated poorly, you don't have to pay $5 for it, right? You can just be treated poorly.
You were treated poorly at the Starbucks?
I don't drink coffee, as you know.
Uh-huh.
But I was picking up coffee for my brother who's visiting and Amy. And I was scolded because I ordered wrong.
I was just going to say you probably ordered wrong.
Listen.
Well, you can't go there and get small. You have to know the lingo.
Let me tell you something. Here's what I can do. I can give you the money. And you can give me the freaking coffee.
But if you say the wrong
terminology. You don't scold a customer. Not ever.
What did they say to you?
Guy goes, next time order this. And with attitude. And I wouldn't leave it alone, of course, because I can't. So I said, I'm sorry, you having a bad day? He goes, no. He goes, well, because you're giving me a lot of attitude. And I just gave you money, so how about you give me the coffee? And next time you listen when I order and you get it right. So the coffee thing. The Starbucks thing. So and then I brought this up to a couple of people, and people go, oh, yeah, Starbucks customer service has gone downhill. So I don't know if you've had that experience, but here's the texter question of the day. Because I don't hear people complain about Dunkin' Donuts, and I don't want to make this about Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts because the Dunkin' Donuts people all seem to be great. You know, they're franchisees with owners who seem to be hardworking folks and all that. And Steve Alexander working on a Dunkin' Donuts cup of coffee this morning. Mm-hmm. And they're partners at the radio station, too, for that matter. And you as well. You do your Dunkin' Donuts run every morning.
I do.
But the Starbucks creep, if you're going to have somebody like that in the window greeting customers, there's nothing charming about a coffee barista. There's nothing charming about someone who...
Hey, they have a title.
There's nothing... But there's nothing cool about somebody that goes, well, I'm going to help bring you into the Starbucks fold. Mm. Just give me the friggin' coffee, and I'll give you the $12 or whatever the hell I owe you for a cup of hot water, and we move on. That's it. So here's my question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you obviously didn't read the warning. The beverage that's about to be thrown in your face is extremely hot.
Right. I don't take bad customer service anywhere, Starbucks or anywhere else. I won't accept it, and I won't put up with it. And by the way, you don't want to start with me. You don't want to start with me ever.
No.
So here's the what I'd like to do, the big texter question of the day. Not Dunkin' Donuts, not Starbucks. Where's the best cup of coffee in town? There's mom-and-pop coffee shops. Everywhere, and they're hanging on by a thread. But plug your joint. Where do you get your morning cup of coffee?
If I don't go to Dunkin' or Starbucks, mainly because they're, it's very early. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Usually Dunkin' is open. But there's a place at 18th and Indiana in the South Loop called Cafe Society. Boy, they make a delicious cup of coffee.
There's one, Cafe Society. You guys got one?
My kitchen, right
Dave's
here.
Dave's Kitchen.
Dave's Kitchen.
Now, where's that located?
In my house.
Oh, in your house.
But
okay.
I just say one thing, because I am a Starbucks guy. I find that to be the exception to the rule.
What you're
describing. I think for the most part, they really are.
I'm
not saying that excuses it.
Do you go to more than one Starbucks or just the one?
Because
properly managed businesses will have a consistency of customer service.
That's true.
But I've, and again, I don't go to Starbucks. unless I'm picking up coffee for my kid or somebody else.
But they're usually pretty good. They maybe
pretty good's not good. $6 for a cup of coffee. Nice. You ought to come out and wash my windows.
Yeah, when they're making like 20 of these very complicated drinks at once. And they still manage to...
So you actually have to push a button and decide how many squirts go in the cup?
I think it's more than
we're not breaking down DNA in the basement here, Dave. I'm not saying it doesn't take training and skill, but it takes training and skill to slap cheese on a burger as well. So, you know, let's not make it bigger than it is.
But
it's a cup of coffee.
People like you who order wrong, and then they got to decipher, like, do you mean a tall? Do you mean a venti? You don't care.
Just
not
do what I
in
do.
The least.
Refuse to go in there.
Small, medium, large. I'll play your little game. I'll look on your little menu board with your venti and your again, I don't give a rat's butt about coffee. I don't care. But if I'm going to order and you've got your own little fancy Starbucks language, that's great. I'll play your little game. But when I get the order right and you get the order wrong, don't lecture me on anything. Here's your money, give me the coffee, and let's not have this conversation again.
Did they ask for your name? Did they get your name wrong?
No, the guy was afraid I was going to come through the window after him.
They always get my name wrong.
So, Angela?
Well, I got Avia one time.
Avia, well, that's close.
A-V-E-E-A.
Yeah, that's close. Yeah. That's close.
But I normally think they're okay.
That's the other thing. If you're going to pay $6, get my name right. I mean, you know, they didn't screw my name up, so I don't want to throw this into the pile, but... Again, complaints on Starbucks service from multiple separate sources lead to this opportunity to plug your mom-and-pop coffee shop. 312-981-7200 is the number. We also have to get back to your concert discussion of last hour because Dave has a very interesting beef on concerts that we'll bring up in a while as well. And my longtime best friend Craig lost his dad yesterday, and I just want to take a minute to remember his dad and talk about that because there's a lesson in that for all of us as well in how it was handled. So we'll get to that later as well. All right, 6:20, Mary's back. How was your vacation, by the way?
It was great. I was in northern Wisconsin.
See, you actually left town. That's what you're supposed to do.
I saw two bears.
Oh, no kidding.
Huge bears walking right across the road right in front of me.
Freaked out. Were you running?
No, thank goodness. No, I have my bear whistle with me when I do that. I was driving. We were driving.
You have a bear whistle?
Yes.
Were they going slow enough where you could take a picture?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did they stop and pose?
I did not have a chance to get out my camera. It didn't work anyway. The phones just don't even work up there.
But did you yell out the window, show me sexy?
I did try to talk to him. I was
Hold on a second. This just occurred to me. Your phone doesn't need to work to take a picture.
I know, but I couldn't find it in time. I was too intrigued, you know.
I salute that. I salute that you enjoyed the moment instead of missing the moment to take a picture.
I did. My husband was stumbling for his camera, and he couldn't get it in time because then he disappeared into the woods, and I was like,
your husband?
The bear.
What a terrible idea, following the bears into the woods.
I was trying to talk to him and tell him to come out. One was small, but the other one was huge.
Oh, definitely don't go near the huge one if there's a small one with it.
No,
could be mom.
No, this was two separate occasions.
How does the bear whistle? I'm just curious. Is it loud? Does it chase him away?
I don't think it'll do anything. You're supposed to walk backwards when you see the bear.
It sounds like a vuvuzela.
Yeah, it's just a whistle. Just to make me happy. You're
the
not
bear looks
to.
At the other bear and goes, "Oh, the World Cup's over."
Scherler, still full of running, and he's Götze. It's Mario Götze. It's Super Mario. He might just have won the World Cup for Germany.
And he set it in. Super Mario, Super Soap.
That was the game winner, 1-0 Germany yesterday. Do you have a German or an Argentinian call that you could dig up, Kev? I mean, we don't need it this second, but could you dig those up?
Yeah, I got them ready whenever you want.
All right. You got them ready now?
Yeah, you want them?
Let me hear Argentina first.
All right.
This is Argentina's call.
Churle. No corre Mascherano. Churle. Saca el centro, Götze. Señoras y señores, gol de Alemania. Apareció Götze, centro de Churle, la para con el pecho y define. Vamos Argentina, que faltan 8. Le quedan 8 minutos al partido. Gol de Alemania, Götze. Esto todavía no está terminado. Le quedan 8 minutos al partido.
Now, I don't speak the language, but I believe what he was saying there is, damn it, Germany scored. You know, these are the people that started two wars. And then he threw a bunch of World War II history in, and he offered a series of tapes on Hitler. I believe that's what happened there. This is what it sounded like on the German call.
Schürrle.
Now, unless he got sick there at the end, you haven't heard that kind of excitement out of a German since Oktoberfest. Paul Coit standing by. And, Paul, of course, this is our final World Cup summer. You've done fine work for us.
Thank you.
As our World Cup correspondent. I assume you watched the game.
Yeah, I did watch the game, and I was happy. I was happy that the Germans won. If anything's come out of the World Cup, who would have thought that?
Well, it felt like the best team won. It didn't feel like a fluke. It felt like they earned it. They won it.
They did. They were the best team. And you know what? And the USA come out of it great because you only lost 1-0 to the Germans, who ended up with the world champions. So really, you should have got second place.
It's a good point. Just by way of Paul math, we are the second best soccer club on the planet.
I think so.
Now, did you have any thoughts on Rihanna flashing the Germans after the game?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really blame her, can you? And the Germans love a bit of that. The only thing that was missing was probably Lederhosen. Always like to see a flash of the Lederhosen. Wasn't available, though, and I think that was a bit of a letdown after the game.
If you were to go to a soccer game in Germany, do they sell that at the, you know, like you can buy jerseys and hats and things? Do they sell Lederhosen?
Yeah, I think they do. You can get your Bayern München Lederhosen. Which is particularly nice. And there's the Lederhosen for men, and I guess the Ladyhosen, I guess, is what the ladies wear.
Later for men, Ladyhosen for women.
Yeah.
Not sure that's entirely right. All right, so if I'm paying Lionel Messi $12 billion to play for me, and then he doesn't score, I mean, come on.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's him just playing for his country. Everybody was saying that he's the best player in the world, and this is the stage that he must shine on. But he didn't. He really didn't play. But I tell you, my favorite thing about the whole match, the whole lifting of the World Cup, I don't know whether you saw that, was the goalkeeper, was the Golden Glove Award. Did you see that, where the goalkeeper won this? It was just like this Golden Glove statue thing, which actually looked like that thing from the Addams Family. You know, the hand?
Yeah.
The most ridiculous award I've ever seen.
So that was for best goalie?
Yeah, they just like sprayed a glove gold and stuck it on a stand, and it was ridiculous. It's supposed to be the World Cup, for crying out loud.
That is a little bit embarrassing. I know the people of Brazil were celebrating Argentina's loss, and it occurred to me, other than France, is there another club you would like to see lose more as an Englishman?
Well, there's this thing called Schadenfreude, which is one of my favorite words, which is where you want to see everybody fail apart from yourself. So pretty much we do everybody, apart from the USA.
But France would be first.
France would probably be first.
Say it like an American. Say France.
Well, I think France would be first, Argentina maybe second, and then Germany third.
All right. Do you have a final World Cup term of any kind that you could teach us in your soccer shenary?
Yes, I do. I have a final one for the soccer shenary. By the way, I think it'd be nice if you started using an umlaut over your O as a tribute to Germany. So you're Steve Kirkland. What do you think?
It sounds like you're choking. It sounds like you need the Heimlich maneuver, speaking of Germans.
I think so.
Is Heimlich German or Austrian? I don't know.
They're all from around there. Yeah. The final one I'm going to use is the most famous footballing term, which nobody seems to understand, and that is what I'm going to have a go at, and please feel just free just to cut me off, and that is the offside term.
Oh, yeah, the offside term. Who knows when you're offsides? How do you get offsides? Is it a good call? Is it a bad call? Explain.
Offside. So you are running forward with the ball.
Yep, right now I'm running forward.
And then your friend is just in front of you, and you want to pass the ball to him so he can have a shot on goal and obviously score and win the World Cup for you.
But I'm running. I see you. You're a little bit ahead of me because you're faster, and I want to pass you the ball.
Put the ball forward, for crying out loud. I'm ready for you, but there's two defenders in between you and I. but you pass the ball and it comes straight to me and I shoot on goal and I score. But unfortunately, it's disallowed because I was offside. There has to be a defender between me and the goalkeeper before I can shoot, which would make it therefore not offside, but it's onside if I am, if you push the ball through and I run in between as the ball's played in between the goalkeeper and the last defender. Is that, does that make perfect sense?
I believe if you had tried to explain cold fusion, it would have been clearer. So if there is a defender between you and the goalkeeper, then you're not offside.
I'm not offside.
But if you are behind the defenders and in front of me, it's offside.
Exactly. But I can run onside if you play the ball. Once the ball is moving, I can then run in front of the defender, but I can only run once you've kicked the ball.
Yeah, that made it worse. So
you know what, though? You've done really well. That was pretty much it.
So if the goal is disallowed, can I flop like a World Cup player and roll around on the ground and fake pain?
Yeah, you do. You roll around, you fake pain, you shout at the referee, and then you get on with the game. Then, but actually, usually you aim a lot of your ire towards the linesman there, the one that raised the flag, because you're saying, I was never offside. What are you talking about? I was in line. Because if you're in line, that's fine. But if your head or if your foot goes in front, is offside. But if your hand is in front, that's allowed, because you don't use your hand in football. That's why it's called football.
By the way, I have the ultimate solution to end flopping in soccer.
Which is one?
Every time somebody goes down and flops, that they're hurt, they have to submit to a mandatory on-field physical immediately, where a doctor comes out, slaps on the rubber glove, and you have to have a full physical right in the middle of the pitch.
Right. And then on, I think that's fair enough. I don't know. Does it involve short dropping or
yes.
not?
Yes, absolutely.
It involves short dropping as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, right. So I think that would end flopping in our lifetime. Paul, you've been...
would be interested.
Paul, you've been fantastic. That's no surprise to any of us. And I look forward to your next report, which will have nothing to do with this. But we will have you back on later in the week because it won't have anything to do with the World Cup. But your team, Tottenham Hotspur, is coming to town to play a friendly.
What's a friendly? What does that mean?
A friendly? Well, friendly is when you're not involved in an official match and it's just a game amongst chums.
Oh, I gotcha.
I don't even know if that's right. But Tottenham Hotspur will have representatives, and the Chicago Fire will have representatives in studio later this week. And I'll need you. You know, like when you're watching the United Nations, who doesn't watch the United Nations channel, and you have headphones on so you can get the translation? I'll need you to translate whatever they're talking about.
It'll be a pleasure. I feel like I may be the new Cyrus Vance. I don't even remember who that is.
Okay. All right. That's Paul Coyne. He's the best. He's the best. He's live in London, and later this week, the Tottenham Hotspur types will be in.
From Chicago.
Stop participating, star.
It's the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
720 WGN.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Here's how we do this. Dr. Kevin Most, Vice President, Medical Affairs, Cadence Health. We'll talk about some medical issues in the news, and then we'll break for traffic, and we'll come back, and then we'll talk about whatever's bothering you. You know, like Dr. Most, when people come in and they hold up their arm and they go, it hurts when I do this. And then you look at them and you go, well, don't do that anymore.
See, you could be a doctor.
Thanks. All right. Consumer Reports last week said you shouldn't spray sunscreen, sprayable sunscreen, on little kids and infants because they'll inhale it and it could irritate their lungs. Is this a major concern or a minor concern?
You know, it's probably more of a minor concern, and it's probably more important that the message is out there, because I think what I was afraid people would hear is, stop using sunscreen. I heard in Consumer Reports,
right. You're
not supposed to use sunscreen in kids, and it's actually because of these, some of these are powders, and they have these particulates. Two main ones that can, you know, titanium dioxide and zinc oxide are ones that are in all sunblocks, and that can be a little irritating, especially to young lungs. So more important to use creams on the faces and keep the sprays away from the face area.
All right, Dave, jump in on this. You're a dad. I'm a dad.
Yes.
There are certain instincts you have as a parent. And one of those instincts you have as a parent is when you're spraying something around your kid, you tell your kid, close your eyes, close your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't every parent do this? Why do we need Consumer Reports to tell us this? Are there literally parents who don't understand when you're spraying sunscreen on a kid, you need to tell them to close their mouth?
Well, I'll wait for to hear what Dave has to say.
Well, I'd never been able to spray my kids when they were small without them turning their face away.
Right.
So yeah. There's no way you're going to spray them in the eye.
I just don't understand why this was even a study. But, you know, Doc, that's just me. All right, let's talk about concussions because this is a serious deal, and we're going to get into the next several weeks, preseason high school athlete physicals and things of that nature. I'm sure you're seeing a lot of them already.
We are. And, you know, the big thing with concussions, the American Academy of Neurology actually just had their annual meeting here in Chicago. And a couple big messages came out, and some were towards patients, some were towards family members, some were towards coaches, and actually some were even towards, you know, myself, you know, the primary care doctor of, you know what, if you haven't been especially trained in concussions, management of concussions and decisions on when to return to play, hand that over to a specialist because this is getting to be a big deal, and we're starting to see more and more. I mean, just look at the NFL, more and more individuals that are really hurt because of these.
And docs have to be tough on this, and schools have to be tough on this because when there are parents who are going to say, he's fine, let him play. And you can't bow to pressure from parents if you feel medically that the child is not ready to play.
And, Steve, we live in this society of win, you know, win at whatever cost, and he's fine. When I was a kid, I just shook it off, rub some dirt on that, and get back
yep.
to the game. You know, we're starting to realize that the cognitive issues on this and other memory issues are really, really bad in the future, and you're doing a disservice to your child so that they can win a fifth grade football tournament or even a high school, you know, football game. You're doing them a huge disservice for their future.
Number to call is 312-981-7200. Faxers. Texters. You can fax if you want. 312-981-7200. It won't go anywhere, but feel free to try. But texters and phone calls at 312-981-7200 if you got some mail in and you'd like to ask Dr. Most about it. New York Times has a big story this morning, Doc, about how improving access to health care doesn't mean anybody's saving any money. I know it's early to figure this out with the Affordable Care Act, but there are some logical conclusions that the New York Times draws that seems to make sense, and that people who overuse the emergency room overused it because it was convenient, especially if they didn't have a GP, a general practice doctor. So if you have more access to health care and your habit is to use the emergency room, how do you get people to stop doing it except now they're bringing in their insurance card?
Well, yeah, and hopefully the emergency room docs are saying, hey, you know what? You have insurance now. You don't need to come here as your, you know, site for care. Let me hook you up with a primary care doctor who will take care of you. And, you know, making that tie-in from the emergency department, because now they do have options. And it is important. You know, the emergency department is great. Those guys are absolutely brilliant. They treat big-time issues. Get the diabetes, get the hypertension, get the asthma out of the emergency department and get it to a primary care doctor where they can take care of it in a better way and for a lot less money. That's the whole goal here, is to try to save some money in our health care costs.
Yeah, and the other thing that the New York Times seems to be pounding here again and again and again is when you provide more access to people and give them more opportunities to get care in advance, it doesn't mean they're going to do it. Because most of us, by way, again, of human nature, go to the doctor when we're sick or we think we need them. This whole idea of preventative care and being proactive, that's a generational change, and that's a societal change, and that's a behavioral change. That's not going to happen overnight.
It certainly won't happen overnight, and probably the biggest thing that we need to get across to people is chronic illnesses. Sometimes you're not sick. Hypertension, I can't look at you and say your blood pressure is high, but when I take your blood pressure and I see it's high, I can put you on medication, change your diet, get you on an exercise program that 10, 15, 20 years from now is going to save you from having that stroke and saving you from having that heart attack. So the instant gratification of taking care of chronic disease isn't there, but we have to get that across that that's important.
We'll come back, grab a couple of questions from you guys, text or by phone, 312-981-7200. Dr. Most is the Vice President of Medical Affairs at Cadence Health. He's got this military uniform, Andrea, with these medals on it and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, he likes to be called Colonel.
And not just at work.
Yeah, not just at work. And, Doc, what's the website you'd send people to?
CadenceHealth.org.
All right, Colonel, hold on. We'll get traffic here from Mary, and Mary will take care of that. Then we'll come back, and I know somebody's got a question about West Nile and some other things that are coming up as well. All right, 6:56. Dr. Kevin Most, Vice President of Medical Affairs at Cadence Health. All right, Doc, how bad is West Nile going to be from several texters? Curious about that.
Yeah, you know, we're really expecting it to really ramp up here just because of the way the weather has been going. So we would expect August, September to be pretty bad. And again, remember, though, for all the texters out there, the vast majority, 80% of people who get West Nile aren't even going to know they have it. It's only those patients over the age of 50, those who have a decreased immune system, those are the ones we get concerned about, where they're going to get that fever, headache, body aches. And then the severe ones are going to be very rare. Less than 1% are going to get all those other neurologic symptoms, the encephalitis, the meningitis, and the severe injuries.
This is disturbing. Jason's an ER nurse, called to say he sees third-grade football players coming in with concussions. That's 8-year-olds.
It is, and he, you know, it's kind of interesting you say that, because if you think about these little kids that you see playing football and go, oh, that's cute, and the helmet doesn't fit, and I'm not sure they all have mouth guards in, you know, that is the concerning part as well, is that we're starting these kids at such a young age, and often the equipment isn't built for their heads. So that helmet that you think is helping them isn't. And Jason, that emergency room nurse, identifying those, getting them into a pediatric neurologist quickly is very difficult as well, because there are not a lot of pediatric neurologists around. At Cadence, we have a concussion clinic with a pediatric neurologist and a sports medicine doc. It's filled every day, every Monday during football season.
And thanks, Jason, for the good work I'm sure that he's doing, because he's concerned about what he's seeing in the ER. What is another thing that you are seeing that you want to leave us with, that's either coming into the office or you've seen at the hospital? Or one other piece of advice as we go on our way here.
You know, and I'll go back to concussions just because it's so big. And, I could normally talk at this time about dehydration and heat exhaustion, but since we're going to get a frost warning tonight, I guess we don't have to worry about that.
How about a frost warning in July? Maybe you got anything on frostbite?
No, frost warning would be nice. It'd make allergies a lot better probably. But, you know, really to the parents out there and to the coaches, you know, win at any cost is not a good attitude. The damage that you're doing to these young kids, you got to be very careful. And getting them into a return-to-play program that's very appropriate with an educated sports medicine pediatric neurologist is key. We have to save the kids' heads here.
Yep, and from the 815, there's a big push for peewee football to start early in order to work your way into high school football programs, and parents are the worst ones pushing it, according to the 815. Look, I know you love to see your kid involved in sports. I know you want your kid involved in everything, but the concussion business is a serious business. And wouldn't you rather people are overthinking it than underthinking it?
Yeah, you definitely would. And you know, again, they're not all going to get college scholarships, so don't go running down that road. And very few college players make it to the pros. I'd rather have my brain cells working because I want to be a doctor, an accountant, a lawyer. Because
what about a talk show host? Couldn't you throw that in there too?
Well, your bell got rung a few times up there in Ithaca.
That's why I'm on the air now. Walk it off, Steve. Walk it off. I might end up on the radio.
That's right.
Is that what you want? Apparently. Dr. Kevin Most, great work as always. Vice President of Medical Affairs at Cadence Health. Thank you, my friend. And we'll talk to you soon.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. We'll take a break, and the news coming up in just a moment.
Live from the city that works, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGYN.
I said that I got crappy service at Starbucks yesterday, and I'm not even a Starbucks customer. I was picking up coffee for my daughter and my brother, and the coffee kid was a jerk. He was a barista jerk. He was a jerkista. So I said, other than Starbucks, what's a coffee shop that you love? And not Dunkin' Donuts. We know Dunkin' Donuts is great. We know that half the world loves Dunkin', half the world loves Starbucks. That's all fine. But what do you like? What do you like? I mean, I'm happy to plug some of these mom-and-pop coffee shops. Turns out that there's a ton of them.
that are out there. So let me just fly through a few of these here while I have a second. Then, Dave, I have a present for you.
A present?
I didn't get you and your wife anything for your anniversary, but I did get you something.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes.
Shouldn't have.
Benison's in downtown Evanston says great donuts, great coffee. You know Benison's?
Yep, love it. Okay. Great place.
Let's see. Home Cut Donuts in Joliet, best cup of Joe. Ravinia Coffee Station in downtown Ravinia area of Highland Park, live music. The owner makes the best latte. It's the best.
My friend owns that.
Your friend owns Ravinia Coffee Station? Mm-hmm. Then why are you plugging the one in Evanston? Why don't you just support your friend?
My friend's is way better than Benison's.
You just remembered just seconds ago? let's see. It's Vince, the limo driver. The best coffee shop I know is about my old-fashioned coffee maker in the kitchen at my house. That's weird. Dave's kitchen is supposedly really good, too.
I think it's the same one.
I don't know. You see a guy wandering around your kitchen you're not familiar with?
No.
Are you rude to the people that come into your house and order coffee?
Not usually.
And by the way, I just want to clear something up. I know the majority of the world goes to Starbucks. I'm just sorry that all of you have kowtowed to the Starbucks language and how to live the Starbucks life and how many pumps of this and pumps of that. I got your pump right here. How many pumps of this and pumps of that you want. And just because I had a jerkista yesterday doesn't mean you have had that. But I've heard people complain. I brought this up out of the blue. And I had a bunch of people go, oh, yeah, Starbucks service sucks now. I don't know what happened. What happened to Starbucks? And that you guys say it's all fine.
It's fine.
You guys are defending them.
No, we know how to order, though.
We know how
you
to order.
You go small, and it's not the lingo.
The
you got to look
no,
lingo
no,
to get the good
no.
service.
Let me tell you how complicated my order was. I said iced coffee, two grande iced coffees with whatever. I don't even remember what was in it.
You
but
said
it was
grande, though? You didn't say
I said grande. Yeah, I said grande.
All right.
Mickey likes the French vanilla.
That was
it.
French vanilla grande iced coffee.
How many pumps?
Really, Dave, is that any of your business? I mean, it's the weekend.
Well, no, that's a good point. Did you want cream or sweetener?
No. Listen.
So, did you make it soy?
It's not going to an Ivy League school. It's not a Northwestern graduate course. It's not the University of Chicago. It's ordering friggin' coffee. So the kid gives me hot coffee. I said, I'm sorry, it was iced coffee. And then he doesn't say anything. Here's the other thing. If a customer says politely, I think there's a mistake here, the correct response is, oh, I'm sorry about that. We'll fix that right away. Not take it back, close the window, and then come back and then lecture me on next time, say, iced coffee.
Oh, this was in the drive-thru that you got lectured?
Yeah, the jerkista. And the window.
That's pretty bad.
Did you ever see the Saturday Night Live bit on Starbucks, the home machine?
Does that lecture you as well?
It does.
Yeah. Yes. You don't get the order right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to make this about how to order at Starbucks, because Starbucks doesn't get to reinvent the language. Coffee at the Heinz VA hospice unit is the best. How about that?
Wow.
Well, sorry if you have to be there, but apparently it's nice to have a great cup of coffee. Bean and Leaves in Long Grove. Let's see. I had the same condescending experience at the Sycamore Starbucks. But do a shout out for Mudslingers on Route 64 in Sycamore. They're great. Kevin's Place. Kevin, you got a place? Kevin's got a place.
Yeah, I got a little place.
Kevin's Place on Waukegan Road in Deerfield. Deerfield Bakery on Waukegan Road. Apparently they're in direct competition with Kevin's Place.
Right across the street.
Let's see. Get a couple more in here. Sweet Maple Cafe, West Taylor in Chicago. You been there?
Oh, I have been there. They do make a good cup of coffee.
And so on and so on. So anyway, Dave, I was at Whole Foods yesterday. And what do you think Whole Foods would have snobby people? Whole Foods, I don't go in there that often, but they're nice people.
Very
great
nice
customer
people.
Service. Trader Joe's, too.
And every time I see something with kale on it, I get excited for you. So I was walking by, I was grabbing some fresh fruit. And I said, well, should I order grande fresh fruit or a tall? I don't know how to order fruit. But this is organic, gluten-free from bradsrawfoods.com. This combines your two greatest loves. So happy anniversary to you, Dave. This is kale and pina colada. So booze
nice.
And kale.
Hey, Dave's two favorite things.
It's vegan, it's kosher, it's crunchy, it's pina calata. Pina calata, Brad's raw crunchy ale. It's kale with the pina colada flavoring.
I've never heard of this.
Neither have I.
Look at that.
I mean, is that nice or what?
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome,
buddy. You shouldn't have.
You're welcome. It was $100.
Raw crunchy kale.
Yeah. So
pina calada.
Pina calada. Isn't that exciting?
It is.
All right.
Would you like some?
Not in the least. So I don't want coffee, and I don't want that. All right. What are we doing? Traffic. Mary's back, and Mary, before we get to you, love boating, but not the hassles of boat ownership. That's why you got rid of your boat, Mary. The whole hassle of boat ownership, right?
I know it's rough.
If you don't want to deal with the commitment it takes to clean, insure, maintain, or pay for the hole in the water, as they call it, but you do want the benefits, now there's Carefree Boat Club. It's a members-only boating club in beautiful new 31st Street Harbor, just south of Soldier Field. And for a fraction of the cost of owning a boat, you can enjoy unlimited access to their fleet without all the hassle. Limited memberships are available. Sign up today. Call 888-447-1540. 888-447-1540 is a pretty good idea. You love the idea of having a boat, but you either can't or don't care to try to swing the whole cost of it. 888-447-1540, carefreeboats.com/Chicago. Again, carefreeboats.com/Chicago. You know, the Starbucks, you know what it is? It's the Soup Nazi episode. It's the Soup Nazi from Seinfeld, where people are afraid if they get the order wrong, the jerkista is going to yell at you.
But you're kind of generalizing that they're not all jerkies.
That's all I do is generalize.
They're intimidating. That's
really, you guys think so?
I won't go in one because I don't drink coffee. I'm afraid of them.
You're afraid of them?
It's because you're a nice person, Mary.
Dave and I will take you guys in. We'll show you the rope.
But I don't drink it. I don't care.
Let me ask you a question. In the wide, wide world of sports, what do you think the chances are that you're going to take me in for a clinic at Starbucks?
I think Dave and I are going to take you and Mary.
We'll do a video.
Yes.
It'd be perfect.
Okay. I had to order a tea there once. I freaked out.
Let me tell you something, Andre. You can get me to do a lot of things. This ain't one of them.
I bet we can. I bet we're going to do it. We'll teach you how to do it.
I'm not going either.
No.
Come on.
No. I have a giant I have a tureen of Diet Coke next to me. That's all I need. And the Diet Coke I just got from the machine, you know, nobody at the Diet Coke machine went, oh, next time, ask for the right size.
You didn't get any attitude.
You always get a grande Diet Coke.
This is more like a double venti because it's a big Coke.
Oh. I'm gonna leave right now. You start grande venting, latteing. What is that? Just stop it. But if you want a plug for your local coffee shop, text us. It's 312-981-7200. Coming up, more of show number 200. And what did I say it was? 208? I think it's 208. This is 720 WGN. All right, Rhonda's on the phone to defend baristas.
Hi.
Hey, Rhonda, you're not a jerkista, you're a barista. But why would I be wrong? Why would it be wrong if the punk kid in the window goes, next time, say iced coffee?
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry you had this experience. We try so hard, day in and day out, and I'm very sorry.
There should be a Starbucks jail where he has to go in and either spend grande time or latte time or tall time or venti time, whatever that.
Frankly, probably everybody in that store has a headset, and they probably all heard him, and he probably did get some coaching after the fact. And I apologize that you had such a rough time, and that should never, ever, ever happen. But that job, especially that window job, is so high stress and so, you know, induced with speed. And our menu is very, very, very complicated because, frankly, our customers are very, very complicated. They want exactly what they want.
And they want it fast. And you're exactly right, Rhonda. And you want it fast. And it's I have nothing but empathy for people that work in any form of retail. Because customers can be jerks. But I wasn't a jerk until the jerk switch got flipped. And then it was game on.
I apologize for that. He probably was having a bad moment.
That's what I said. Are you having a bad day, Timmy? Oh, Rhonda, you're a big winner. Hold on. Just because Rhonda's a nice person and took the time to call.
Yeah.
I want Rhonda. Give Rhonda whatever she wants off the prize list. Give her something nice for defending baristas.
And most of the baristas, I think, are very nice.
Anna Balaval is on the phone. She's very nice, and she's pretty, too. She's pretty, and she's nice. She's pretty nice.
Thank you.
Hey, Rockstar. Hey, Rockstar, congratulations. I know you're going into... Here's my, you know, The View is not my show, but it's not designed for me. But I'm telling you right now, if you were on The View, I'd watch it every day.
Oh, thank you.
So how did this come up?
Well, really, out of the blue, I met a couple of people that worked somewhere else for telepictures a few years ago, and now they're at the ABC, and they contacted me about 3 weeks ago for something else, and I said, you know, I can't do that. And they said, well, one day maybe you can come and guest co-host The View. And I was like, oh, okay. And long story short, they announced that the two other hosts are leaving, and I get an email that they want to test me for the show.
Well, that's exciting, isn't it? And I mean, I know you don't want to leave here, and I know you don't want to leave the old number nine, but that's an exciting opportunity.
It is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that I otherwise wouldn't have gotten and don't know if I'm going to get again. So that's why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it because, oh, I'm going to get the show and leave Chicago. It's just because I've never done it, and I think it's a great opportunity to also put a different face of Latinos on the air. You know, I'm always trying to make the best out of my community and Chicago, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, people that understandably don't understand show business who have jumped to some level of offense by the fact that ABC has announced they're looking for a Latino female. I think it's great that they say they're looking for a Latino female to be on the show because that
it's
voice.
About time.
Yes, exactly. There's no offense in that.
The show is 18 years old and they've never had a Latina at the round table. And I think it's about time. And it is a show that brings different perspectives from different members of the United States community, if you will. And, and that's the point of view that has been missing for 18 years.
What if you had to work with Rosie O'Donnell every day? Wouldn't that be tough?
I don't mind her. But honestly, Steve, I'm not the kind of person that's going to engage in a super heated fight. Let's go out to the parking lot and duke it out. I'm very passionate when I talk, and I defend my point of view, but I don't want to convince you that I'm right and you're wrong. I'm just going to put it out there, and then that's done. So, you know, we'll see.
Could you beat her up if you had to? I mean, like, if I had to bet money on you or Rosie, who would I bet money on?
Go with Rosie.
Oh, I'm putting my money on Anna Balaball. My money's going on you, Anna.
I'd have to bring a posse, Andrea. I'm going to do it on my own.
Anna actually is advising people to bet against her in the fist fight with Rosie.
She'd crush her.
I don't know. Listen, I used to know Rosie pretty well. I haven't talked to her in years, but even since she became a big shot. But the fact of the matter is, I think she's probably different than when she left The View, and she had a right to be upset about certain things, so she might be tons of fun to work with.
But Elizabeth Hasselbeck infuriated me sometimes, too, so.
If I had Elizabeth Hasselbeck, are you in a fight? Am I betting on Elizabeth Hasselbeck?
Still, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover and a dancer.
My money's on Anna.
Well, you're endlessly entertaining. Look, here's the deal. You're smart, you're funny, you're talented, you're beautiful. There's no reason for you not to go do this, and I hope it goes well, and I hope it works out however you want it to work out. But nonetheless, I just hope you go and have a good time and relax and just be you.
I will. I'll do my best, and I have to say the best part of all of this is seeing how much love and support viewers, listeners, friends, family, colleagues have offered me. And so I go with my heart full and, you know, to do my best.
That's it.
I'm talking just like Paul Conrad, right? Because he's just as sappy.
No. Paul doesn't care about doing his best. He's been phoning it in for years.
He gets well paid for it, too. I'm proud of him.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, Paul barely is conscious when he's doing the show. Anyway, we love you. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you, and I'll see you in about 10 minutes on the WGN Morning News. Because, buddy, I know where my bread is buttered, and I'm coming home tomorrow on Wednesday.
What a suck-up you are. All right, well done by you. That's the great Anna Balaball.
Yeah, congratulations to Anna, because she's awesome, and she's a great person.
Come back with your news next on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:43, little cloudy patch rolling over the lake now and into downtown Chicago. But overall, it looks like the nor'easter, the winter weather that was predicted for Chicago this week,
It's coming in. What was an Alberta Clipper? What was coming in here?
Polar Vortex.
Oh, the Polar Vortex. That was it.
It wasn't frigid weather. It was just 50s.
High 70 tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what, Dave? We talked about playing golf tomorrow. You might want to bring along maybe one of those golf pashminas. You know, a little wrap for you to keep the chill off. You know what I'm saying?
Getting the way on your backswing.
Yeah, they do a little bit. Get tangled up. Tangled up, and there's nothing but trouble. Mayor Emanuel in the Park District and the Chicago Sculpture International folks are announcing a Chicago tree project, which is pretty cool. I think this is fairly unique. I could be entirely wrong, but let's say it's completely unique and no one's ever done it before. As I welcome, introduce yourselves, please.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Bendel. I'm with the Chicago Park District.
And?
Eric Stevenson. I'm the president of Chicago Sculpture International.
And we take some of these, is it fair to call them stumps?
No, they're actually... A lot of the trees are the remaining part of the trees we're working with are upwards of 20, 30 feet tall.
Oh, they are. So the diseased part of the tree is removed.
Right. Anything that's been, any part of the tree that's been already compromised has been removed. And so we're giving the artists solid wood to work with.
And then they turn whatever is left into something that's legitimately really cool piece of art.
Sculpture.
All right. What's an example? What type of sculpture?
Well, there's a variety of materials that artists are using. Some of the artists are carving, doing intensive carving. There's a very whimsical...
Is carving like whittling? Because I whittled when I was a kid.
Does, yeah.
This is a little bit more intense. There's a chainsaw involved.
Yeah, they never let me play with chainsaws, which was a good idea.
But some of the other trees, we really tried to pick a wide variety. Some of them have materials added to them, wrapped, found objects like hoses and wire that are bright and colorful. And then we have another tree artist that is carving and then printing, making ink prints off of it, which is going to be quite beautiful, I think.
Right. And then there are other people that are actually generating their sculptural objects and then installing them within the branches of the trees.
Yeah, like Margot McMahon, who did something called Flock on a 125-year-old elm tree in Jackson Park. Can you describe this for people that obviously aren't looking at the picture right now?
Sure. Yeah, you could see it from Lakeshore Drive. She casted larger-than-life... songbirds, painted them a bright turquoise color, and I think there's about a dozen of those, and then one big owl at the very top. So they're larger than life in this huge, over 125-year-old elm tree.
That's a beautiful piece. I've seen that South Lakeshore Drive as you're going down just before you get to the golf course, Jackson Park.
Yep. It's near Hayes Drive.
Stunning. Yeah. How do you pick the artist? Because I immediately saw that, and I thought, oh, I know someone who... you know, would be great to do something like that.
So originally, I'll let Eric chime in.
We put out a call to artists, specifically within the Chicagoland region. And so the initial first round is basically qualifications.
You got to have sculpture chops. You got to know what you're doing.
Well, exactly.
Can't come in with a chainsaw and a welding mask and think he can work on one of the trees.
Exactly and stuff. It's like, so they give us a tentative proposal, and then in context with what their skill set is, and their experience level, we decide whether they're, you know, actually have the ability to execute what they're proposing. And then from that, we whittled it down to probably about, you know, 15 artists. And then they gave a more elaborate proposal. And then it was up to the Parks District to jury it down and decide which artists were appropriate. And also they married them to the specific trees.
How many trees?
Right now we have 10. We're hoping to do more because I think this is a pretty successful project.
It's a cool idea. Is anybody else doing it anywhere?
Not that I know of. Not like this.
This is your idea, Eric? Are you crazy sculpturist sitting around late one night going, hey, here's an idea?
I mean, we're thinking, you know, constantly trying to come up with opportunities for our sculptors and our members of Chicago Sculpture International. But ultimately, we've been doing more and more collaborations with the Chicago Parks District. And since they're responsible for the trees in Chicago, it just... came about during our conversations as a possibility.
So are you looking now at trees in a completely different way? For instance, you're driving around, you go, oh, that would be so great if we could work on that one.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, and I think the community is too. There's been a lot of feedback with the community engaging in these trees in various parks. A lot of the citizens have looked at these trees for years, 20 years, 30 years, and they have stories about them. And they've given us a lot of feedback, good, positive feedback.
How do you decide what tree is viable?
Well, Well, we have foresters for that at the Park District to let us know
right.
which trees are viable, which ones are strong enough, which ones would be could withhand or withstand sculpture.
And Eric, once the artist is chosen, are you guys collaborating on their idea for the tree, or do you just let them go as artists and let them develop something?
For the most part, we're giving them a fairly free hand, but at the same time, we are, you know, unbeknownst maybe to them and some of that, we are keeping a strong eye on to them and making sure that they...
We can't just turn these artists loose.
Right. That would be crazy.
Yeah. I mean, there, you know, there's liability involved and safety practices. And
Sure. Yeah, I wasn't so concerned about that as much as, you know, giant tree nudes going up all over.
Right. Yeah, no one's proposals really ran in that direction, you know, so... Yeah.
Yet. Stick around 1 second. We'll talk more about this because I think one of the things people are going to wonder and go, hey, I got a tree you guys should know about. And the website we should send people to see some of this stuff or find out more?
Chicagosculpture.org.
That's pretty easy, isn't it? Most people don't know their blood type.
Weird. I don't. Do you guys all know your blood type? Really?
Dave, what's your blood type?
Grande.
Oh, here we go again. Here we
half
go.
Calf double D.
Unbelievable. Yes. Dead trees and sick trees are being turned into fabulous works of art thanks to some great sculpture talent. Carolyn Bendel from the Park District and Eric Stevenson from Chicago Sculpture International here. So, Carolyn, let's say somebody's listening now and they've got a grand tree with a great story that they think might be right for this. Can you say, hey, I just want you guys to know about this and consider it?
Absolutely. We've already had some feedback from people saying that they have a notable tree in a park near their house that they're suggesting for us to use, and we definitely will look at it for sure.
And how do they contact you?
They can email me, or actually they should email Eric.
Yeah.
Probably go through the website, right?
Yeah, the website. and Chicago Sculpture International at gmail.com.
Yeah.
Eric, are you going to work on a tree?
Maybe.
Yeah? You want to share the idea with me, or would you have to kill me?
It would depend on the tree.
I'm not sure how that plays into killing me, but I understand. It's got to be exciting for you to be involved in such a unique project, right?
It is. That's one of the challenges and one of our mandates with our group is generating opportunities for our membership. We are a professional group of sculptors of about 150 members, predominantly in the Chicago region, but ultimately across the country and a few across the pond, so to speak.
One of the cool things, if you ever have the opportunity, is to watch a great piece of sculpture come together as it's being put together. Is there an opportunity to do that anywhere? Like, will you say where the next tree is being done and people can actually see it in action?
I think so. I mean, as Carolyn mentioned, the public response has been overwhelmingly positive. I think we'll try to figure out a way of posting a schedule and let people, at least know when there's activity happening. They're going on, and I guess a few more trees are happening over the next month.
Yep, there's a few that are still being worked on. One in McGuane Park you can see from Halstead, which is really nice. That's down in Bridgeport. That one is chainsaw intensive, so it's pretty fun to watch.
No, as you can see the wheels.
No, I was in a band. I was in a band called Chainsaw Intensive.
And there's another one in Washington Park that is beautiful and is very intensive carving, but it's more hand carving.
That's whittling, Andrea. Whittling one.
And those two are continuing to be worked on this week, probably finished at the end of this week. And then we have we're looking forward to two tree sculptures in Lincoln Park coming up and one to be announced.
I hope they do this around the country. I mean, I'm sure you're involved with, sculpture societies in New York, Los Angeles, Dallas, Miami, wherever in the country. I hope other people look into this.
Yeah, I mean, we're a chapter of the International Sculpture Center, so we have connections across the country. And there's several other chapters as well that we combine energies with. And different projects. So, yeah, hopefully it will spread.
And it's great for the buildings because, we've got a constant problem with people coming in and starting sculptures on the side of the building, chipping away. That's what started here. This thing used to be perfectly square.
Is that what happened? Is that where all the rocks came from?
If you want a sculpture for right out here, we can totally hook you up.
We
should do
cool.
that. You know what? We could get you a tree and then you can whittle.
You wouldn't believe what I could make out of a tree in my head. Nice to see you guys. Website one more time.
Chicagosculpture.org.
And congratulations to the city, the mayor, and everybody else for getting this
Park
done.
Park District. And don't forget, Nights Out in the Park, over 1,000 activities this year. So check it out.
Wow. You're too busy. You need to take a nap. It's 7:56. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate
Thank
it.
Appreciate
and by the way, once you get more of this rolling at all, let us know. We'll throw it out on social media here, too.
Appreciate it.
Back with your news in a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Hello, buddy.
Hola, senor.
I had an incident at Starbucks this weekend. I don't drink coffee, but I was picking up coffee for my daughter and my brother, and I encountered a jerkista, which I didn't know that they had those, but a jerkista.
What does a jerkista do?
A jerkista is the person that's rude to you when you give them money. And you know how you like angry Steve?
I like angry Steve, especially when he's paying $17 for one cup of coffee.
Yeah, you would have loved it in the car. So anyway, I said, I'd like to hear about mom and pop coffee shops. I mean, we love Dunkin' Donuts around here. They're great partners of this radio station, this company, and they do a great job. And by the way, so does Starbucks, obviously. I'm not putting Starbucks out of business. And the vast majority of people that work at Starbucks are delightful and charming. I just happened to get a jerkista.
That's not good.
But it's an opportunity to plug some of these mom and pop coffee shops, like Dark Matter on Northwestern. It says Northwestern Star Lounge on Chicago Avenue. Either one, Dark Matter or Star Lounge? No, no one. Okay, well now you know. Best coffee roasters and cup of Joe in the northern burbs is Hansa in Libertyville. Either Hansa or Hansa, H-A-N-S-A. Probably Hansa. Or there's Mischief's Brewing in Libertyville. So there's three more ideas. You can continue to text those in at 312-981-7200. So Sting showed up last night.
So it was the final performance of The Last Ship at the Bank of America Theater. And this was a complete, total surprise. They do the performance. Out walks Sting in his T-shirt that's about three sizes too small for him. And
it's the one Jennifer Aniston used to wear on Friends.
Exactly the one that Jennifer Aniston used to wear. And he thanked Chicago audiences, and he sang a little bit. And I don't know if we, I think we may have some.
We have a highlight of that?
I think we
do. Let me hear it.
You, the theater community of Chicago. Because you take your job very seriously. You're here to guide us. You're here to tell us what works in this play and what doesn't work. And we will respond every day to the way you react. So thank you for taking that job seriously. I'm very grateful.
We'll get to the shipyards or we'll end up in jail when the last ship sails.
Oh, he sings the song again for the
100th time. Yeah, I know it's out of context because I haven't seen the show, but what a depressing sounding song. We're all stuck in the village. It can't smell because of the odor from the shipyard.
And the shipyard is closing, and I just broke up with my girl. That's basically the whole show right there. I said, just saved you 3 hours. That's the whole show right
now,
there.
Now, I have run into, I know you weren't, you said it needs a lot of work, but.
I wasn't crazy about it, but yeah. I've heard from just as many people who disagree with me as agree with me. Okay. So the reviews are mixed going into New York. It'll open, now the show, it's world premiered here. We'll go to New York. It opens there in the fall, and we'll see what the critics think and what the audiences, more importantly, think when the show opens there.
Tracy Morgan's out of the hospital?
Yeah, got out over the weekend. They actually published a photo of him. He looks visibly thin. He looks healthy otherwise, but he has lost quite a bit of weight while he's in the hospital. He was in a wheelchair. One of his legs is still all casted up. Remember, he broke his leg, ribs, femur, nose, broke just about everything in that terrible car accident. As he was being released from the hospital, his lawyers were filing a lawsuit against Walmart, saying that they were negligent, that they knew that the driver of the semi-truck, the Walmart truck, that hit the limo van, that Tracy Morgan and several others who were injured and comedian Jimmy Mack, who was killed in that car accident, that they knew that their driver was fatigued. So there's We have not heard the end of that lawsuit just yet.
Has he talked about what he would do with the settlement?
No, he has not. He has,
because I would think Tracy Morgan's got a little money, and while I have no issue with him filing suit in this case, I think filing suit on behalf of the deceased or to set up a fund for his buddy would probably be a good move.
Yeah, I think that would be the smartest thing. I mean, to cover medical bills, I mean, Tracy Morgan certainly has plenty of money. I would hope that he has some money from everything that he's done. But the other people who were in the car may not be as financially well off as he is. They may need have medical expenses that need to be addressed.
And yeah, I can guarantee his opening act. Opening acts aren't making a bunch of money, and most comics, you know, are self-insured or have no insurance. So I'm sure they need help. So hopefully he'll do that.
Yeah, and you know, they may all be, you know, co-complainants. Is that what?
Yeah, that sounds right.
The people who may be part of the lawsuit as well, but we haven't heard the end of this. Walmart is completely cooperating with all of this. The driver himself filed no contest. Actually, he pleaded not guilty to charges of negligence and death by negligence when he was charged with all this. So,
and did he make bail? Is he out?
Yeah, he is out.
Okay. And then one more. Christopher Walken, a lot of people don't know this, he studied dance.
Before he was an actor. That was his main job. He was a dancer.
And there was a video, I don't know, probably 10 years ago now, with Fatboy Slim.
Yep, 2001, the song called Weapon of Choice.
Which is great, where he's dancing through an empty hotel, which is just fantastic.
It's classic, and he dances in the movie Hairspray. That came out, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. It's got a tiny little bit of dancing that he does in Jersey Boys. But, yeah, he's a trained classical dancer and is going to get his chance again when NBC puts on their next live musical theater performance like they did last year with Carrie Underwood and The Sound of Music. They're going to be staging Peter Pan. Christopher Walken is not going to be Peter Pan. Don't worry, we're not going to see him in green tights. He is going to be playing Captain Hook. The first ever singing, dancing Captain Hook.
Well, when you see Captain Hook, you think that's nothing but fun. That's a fun guy, the Hook. But that sounds actually like that could be pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of looking forward to that now with this element. It'll either be incredibly entertaining or so bad that it'll be even more entertaining. So it's win-win for us as an audience member either way.
A couple of more coffee houses. Hard-boiled coffee at 9300 Southwestern. No, nothing? Nothing? Something's brewing?
I'm trying to think.
Something's brewing in downtown. See, that's good that you guys don't know these because I'm giving you ones you don't know. Something's brewing in downtown Graves Lake? Nothing? Nothing?
Yeah, nothing.
There are fantastic, as you say, local coffee shops everywhere, and I guess I didn't even realize how much we don't pay attention to them until you brought this up because the Big Green Monster is out there, you know, dominating it all. I'm gonna throw 2 cents in for Intelligentsia Coffee. They have some shops.
There's two or three in the city, isn't there?
Love that coffee.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a mom and pop shop. It's also a chain much smaller than Starbucks, but their coffee is unbelievable.
How are
delicious.
The baristas?
Delicious.
Every time that I've had encounters with them, they've always been very polite. One furiously making out with me one time.
No, well, that happens. I mean, you can't go anywhere without that happening.
I had my own little latte going on, if you know what I mean.
How about Buzzkiller on Espresso? Buzzkiller Espresso on Damon north of North. You know that one? Anyone? No? Wormhole on Milwaukee. Filter on Milwaukee. Brood Awakenings. I love this name. Brood Awakenings. Brood Awakenings in Morris. Isn't that a great name?
They do have great. These coffee shops do have good names.
Oh, and Absento on Western. And Glenview Grind in downtown Glenview. There's a few more.
Are we sure that's a coffee shop?
No, it's a club I used to dance at with the Christopher Walken music. All right, buddy, I'll talk to you later. Everyone say, yeah, hooray for a cold swim today. Holy cow, right now, get loud and have fun. Come on, cummies, let's get some runs. Before we allow him to kick back for a well-deserved break of sorts, the great Pat Hughes joins us. Good morning, my friend.
Steve, how are you today?
Doing fine. Happy All-Star break.
Well, thank you. Yeah, the Cubs have played a lot of road games. I think I counted 52 as opposed to 42 games at Wrigley. So it is nice to be home and relax for a few days.
Now, before we get to the All-Star game itself, which, as you know, Pat, when you and I and Dave Ennett and Steve Alexander were growing up, was just such a rite of summer. You'd plan around it. You couldn't wait to see it. You didn't get a lot of baseball. It was a big deal. It doesn't have the same impact now. But, Pat, all I'm going to ask you to do is fix the All-Star Home Run Derby, because to me it feels like the dunk contest now. I mean, the top four guys in the league won't participate. We can't keep doing this, can we?
You know what, Steve? I'm not really sure. It's simply an exhibition. It's all for the fans. It's just a show. To be very honest with you, since it's my time away, I don't.
You're not really locked into it.
All of the Home Run Derby. Yeah. Nor do I watch the entire All-Star game. Always, I'll turn it on, watch for a little while, and then maybe flip to something else. But I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion one way or another, to be honest with you.
I do. It stinks. Dave,
okay, fine.
Dave, the Home Run Derby.
Steve, it's your show.
Yeah, it's just not compelling. I mean, I think it was a few years ago. I think it's gotten stale, but people will watch it tonight because it's on, and it's the All-Star break, and if you're a sports fan, you'll probably tune it in just to see what's happening.
I was thinking, isn't there a skills competition of some sort we could make it more interesting? But there's nothing quite as exciting as a home run, and if that's the epic part of the sport, you know, I guess it's tough to figure out an alternative maybe.
You know, speaking of home runs, yesterday, kind of an exciting moment at Wrigley. Arismendi Alcantara hit his first big league home run, and it was not a cheapie. And he's added kind of a very interesting dimension to the Cubs ball club.
And another long name for you to pronounce.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting, Pat, because the word was he was going to come up for 2 days while Darwin Barney was on paternity leave.
Mm-hmm.
And now the 2 days has stretched into 5 games, and now he's going to start the second half at least out in Arizona the end of the week. So it has gotten kind of intriguing to see what happens with him.
Well, it's kind of a classic example of a guy making the very most, Dave, of his opportunity. He almost single-handedly won the final game over in Cincinnati last Thursday with 4 hits and scored the winning run and drove in the tying run, I think, and made some great defensive plays. He has shown his versatility. He's a switch hitter. He's got speed. He's got good hands. Every single day he is doing something really good to help the Cubs win games. And when a guy does that, you can't get rid of him.
Right. Yeah, you go, hey, it's working out really well. Get out. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, Rizzo and Castro obviously playing tonight. Is there anything in particular that you've seen this season outside of maybe a different mental approach from these two guys that's a clear technical difference in how they played last year to this year?
I think it's simple maturity, Steve, to answer that in one word. They've both been around now for 3 or 4 years. They're starting to learn pitchers. They're starting to learn how to kind of get up for every single at-bat in every single game, which takes a while to learn. So I think the simple maturity would be the case for both of them.
After the All-Star game, the Cubs would like to get back on the winning track. At what point do you expect we do? Is there a chance we'd see any early call-ups of note, considering the rebuilding phase the team's constantly in?
I guess that's somebody else's job, and I think it's certainly possible. I think sometimes when a guy like an Arismendi Alcantara comes along and has such a favorable immediate impact, perhaps there's a tendency to see if other guys can have that same effect.
Well, it's kind of nice to watch Javier Baez hit a home run in the Futures game yesterday, and I guess you figure if there's a guy like Alcantara, who I think Jed Hoyer referred to as the most underappreciated of the Cubs' top prospects. But there's, you know, that there is talent there, and eventually those guys are going to make their way up. But at least it kind of gives, I think it whets everybody's appetite, don't you think?
I think it does. I think it does. And it makes you think, well, if this guy is this good, how are the other guys going to be? So certainly, Dave, yeah, there's something to that. There's four or five or six guys that we're all kind of waiting to arrive at Wrigley Field. But I don't know exactly when that will be. Maybe it'll be September of this year, maybe opening day next year, maybe early in the season, May, June of next season. I don't know. But I think many times a ball player in the minor leagues will dictate when he is called up. He'll let his talent and his numbers kind of speak for himself.
And this third baseman, we're hearing a lot about him, spacing on his last name, Chris
Bryant.
Chris Bryant. Is there much talk about him amongst the Cubs at this point?
I think a lot of talk. He's only been in professional ball, Steve, for just over a year, but he's having a wonderful season, 31 home runs. He might, I just saw the article in the paper this morning, he is going to be a strong candidate for the Minor League Player of the Year, not just in the Cubs system, but for all of minor league baseball.
How about that?
So, yes, a lot of people are talking about Chris Bryant, and personally, I'm looking forward to seeing him play at Wrigley.
You know, one of the great things about the All-Star game every year, again, growing up as a kid, is the opportunity to be exposed to some great baseball voices that you wouldn't necessarily hear to anything. I remember the first time I heard Vin Scully was during an All-Star game, and some of the other great giants of the game. And, Pat, if you don't mind me mentioning, baseballvoices.com, you can go to that website and you can see, you can see certainly profiles, but there's a book that comes with each disc on all these great baseball voices, colleagues of yours, idols of yours from the past that you've put together. Who's featured up there now?
Well, let's see. Mel Allen from your home state of New York. Steve, right, that would be the latest one we did last fall. I'm working on a new one regarding Chuck Thompson, great voice of the Orioles and the Baltimore Colts. And that'll be kind of fun. I'm starting to listen to some highlights and decide what would be the proper order for some of those tracks. But he called World Series games. He called NFL championship games. He called the most famous game perhaps in NFL history, the Colts at the Giants in 1958, where Alan Ameche scored the winning touchdown, as Dave Ennett, a football announcer, well remembers.
Absolutely.
Well, remembers? He was covering it.
Okay, that's not nice. Exactly true.
Patrick, enjoy a couple of days off.
Thanks, Steve and Dave. See you guys.
There you go. That's Pat Hughes from your Chicago Cubs. Lisa Madigan next hour. I note with sadness the passing of Walt Jocala of St. Cloud, Minnesota. He's saying, well, Steve, what does that have to do with me? Well, nothing, except here's the story. One of my best friends in life has always been this guy named Craig Jocala. And Craig is Walt's son. And Walt's a hardworking guy, raised a beautiful family, and he's a veteran. And a guy who went to work and didn't complain, and one of those greatest generation types. 3 years ago yesterday, Craig's mom, Walt's wife, passed. 3 years to the day he died. He'd been sick for quite a while, and it was not a surprise, but he fought the good fight for a long time. This is as much about Craig and about, you know, you always talk about dignity with dying. This is dignity amongst the loved ones of those that die and how you handle that. And trust me when I tell you this, I'm not judging how any of you have done this. It's a very personal experience. Andre, you lost your dad.
Yeah.
Both of my parents died after extended illnesses. Everybody makes their own choices. So I'm specifically reaching out to people who have an elderly grandfather, grandmother, mom, dad, maybe an uncle or an aunt you're close to, maybe even a brother or sister who is in some sort of extended care situation or is near the end in any way, shape, or form. I'm not kidding when I tell you this. Craig has a very busy career, very busy life, and doesn't live in St. Cloud, Minnesota, where his dad was. Every weekend, almost without fail for the past several years, spent the weekend at some point with his father and his mother prior to that. And I can tell you from going through this, you know, you've had all the conversations. You know what I mean? You've sat there. It's not easy. You've sat there, and it's not easy to see a guy who was your dad, who was the strongest guy you ever knew, who's in the latter stages of his life and is withering in front of you, your mom or whatever the case may be. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to sit there and have the same talk. It's not easy to sit there and listen to the same stories. But I'm asking you, if you're in this position, don't miss the opportunity to do it. Don't miss the opportunity to spend whatever time you have left with the people that you love, because when they're gone, you don't get a do-over. And again, I say this without judgment. I say it as somebody who had an opportunity to do it, not because I was smart about it. It was sort of an accidental thing, but I got a chance to spend a lot of time with both my mother and father as their lives wound down. And I just couldn't be more proud of my friend Craig, who is an incredibly busy grown man with a million other things to do in his life, made time, again, every weekend, made time to get to St. Cloud, Minnesota, either from his place in Minneapolis or he also lives in Texas part-time, to spend time with his dad. And the upside to this is, and it's the upside to everybody listening, he never has to look back. He never has to look back and go, man, I wish I'd been there. Man, I wish I'd said this. Man, I wish I said that. And if I have one job on this show that's as important as anything else we do here, it's to give you an opportunity to think about things and maybe be inspired by what other people do. And I was inspired by Craig's actions, and I just thought it was a great tribute to his dad, Walt. And I just think it's something that you ought to think about. So that's the message. Do with it as you will. And Walt, I know you're going to be missed, as you are already. How long have you been saying our carpets need cleaning? A month? A year? You should see the carpets in this place. A couple more of these mom-and-pop coffee shops. Joe and Doe. But not Doe like D-O-U-G-H. It's spelled Homer Simpson Doe. It's pretty funny. Joe and Doe.
Doe.
That's another great name for a coffee shop. That's in Naperville on Rickard and West Streets. The Beanhive. Not the Beehive. The Beanhive in Galesburg, Illinois. It's a great place to stop when you're driving home from Western.
I was going to say outside the Chicago area, too. This is mainly in central Illinois, Champaign and whatnot. There's a place called Espresso Royale, and there's only two of them. Great coffee drinks and coffee creations, too.
And Elijah's in Elmhurst.
Oh, nice.
There's another one that just came in as well. Why are we plugging these mom-and-pop coffee shops? Because I think they deserve a plug. Doesn't have to all be about Starbucks. So Elijah's in Elmhurst as well. Dave, we didn't get to this earlier, but when I was driving in this morning, I heard you and Andrea in hour number one of the Steve Cochran Show talking about concerts. Andrea went to the Lady Gaga concert this weekend. And it was interesting. You told me that the Lady Gaga crowd was like 0 to 75.
It was crazy. I literally said I was the median age. There was young kids, you know, maybe 18, 19, 20s. There was a lot of gay men. There was a lot of seniors, you know, like ladies groups or, you know, girls night out. Like my mom and her. In fact, my mom even said, oh, that would have been kind of neat to see. And
I didn't know Lady Gaga had any fan base over the age of 40.
I didn't either. I went kind of thinking maybe I'm too old to go. I had a great time. But my beef was it said 7:30. There were two opening acts. And I say acts because the first group was dancers. And then the second was a DJ. Who just played boom, 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 who played tunes for an hour and a half.
Remember the old days when you would just have a great thumping track, you know, usually, you know, like blues music
sure. Or
whatever,
yeah.
Waiting for the act to come on.
Absolutely. But they didn't have that, and she didn't come on until almost 10 o'clock, so I think it was 9:45 for an hour and a half show. And she was great.
Hour and a half?
Yeah, it was a 90-minute set.
That's kind of cheap.
It was, with one encore.
Is that all the music she has?
She played every song.
She got costume
songs. Changes
and all the other stuff?
Yeah, she had a couple of costume
changes.
So it's
more of a theater thing than a concert.
It was more of a theater thing. She did a costume change right on stage, which was kind of cool.
I heard she did a lot of weird, like, a cappella stuff, didn't she?
She did want, yeah, she sang Born This Way a cappella and brought a fan on stage. It was a very good show, but I just don't get the whole opening, you know, three or four opening bands. It takes 3 hours. Then put on the ticket. The concert will start at 9 or 10, and there will be three opening bands.
Yeah, exactly. Rave reviews from the Toby Keith concert. Toby Keith does a thing at the end of his show where he brings up members of the military.
Oh, that's cool.
And apparently a couple of the soldiers were in tears and hugging each other like they hadn't seen each other since they came back. So I don't know if anybody knows the background on that story. I wasn't at the show. But,
I didn't see it, no.
Heard great things. But, Dave, your beef on concerts, and again, here's a first world problem for you. I don't want to go to concerts anymore because as a disc jockey for all those years, I went to a lot of concerts. So it's got to be something I really want to do. Like, for instance, I'd like to see Billy Joel, but it's, you know, it's Wrigley. You got to drive. You got to park. I mean, if Billy Joel came to the house.
All the people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But Billy Joel and Blake Shelton, I'd see both of those shows. Yeah, but I'm tired.
Yeah.
Isn't there a time you get too old to go to a concert almost? I mean,
apparently not.
That was my question too, Mayor, because I thought, am I the only one who it's 9:45 and I'm kind of getting tired?
Yeah. And really? I went to Bruno Mars a couple weeks ago. I can't remember when it was exactly, but I felt like, oh my gosh, when is he going to come on? And we had Aloe Black was there.
You know what it's turned into, Mayor? It's turned into like the 20 minutes of previews before a movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because there used to be either no opening act or one opening act. And I have no problem with an opening act because that's how a lot of bands get exposure. And they got to learn how to play on stage in front of a big crowd as well. And opening is tough because they're not there to see you.
Oh, yeah. No one's paying attention.
Nobody cares.
The thing, right? And Nick told it an experience that he had where people got mad and hostile toward the band. And then they fought back with the audience. It's just brutal. You know, nobody really.
It's tough. But, one opening act is enough. Let's not
and
go
for
crazy.
For half an hour. You don't need the opening band to play for an hour. Or an hour and a half, because that's another concert.
815 texter said, yeah, the wait was ridiculous. Andrea's right. 815 texter, the synthesizer lady looked like Patty Vasquez.
That's what I said, too. Yeah, right. In fact, I think we put that on the Facebook page.
Patty have a show last night? Maybe she did it.
It was Patty's
I didn't know she could play the
twin,
Moog.
I'm telling you.
But, Dave, all of this is not your beef. All of this is not your beef. Your beef comes later.
Well, I think it's related, because I think one of the problems is the concerts start late, and we all get up very early.
Yes.
And I just find that the ritual of the encore has gotten ridiculous. The artists know they're going to do the encore. Just do the encore. Just add the songs to the set list and do it. And don't go off stage and make us beg for you to come back.
Well, you know why they go off stage? You go off stage to get a breather. You go off stage to, you know, get some water. You go off stage to, if you're the Rolling Stones, to get hookers and liquor. You go off stage, you know, to do whatever you need to do for a second before you come back out and blow it out one more time.
Well, but we're not leaving. I mean, we can't just walk away.
Right.
So well, why should
unless
they?
Unless we want to get out of the
which
parking
also
lot
begs
quicker.
The question, yeah. Though, if they come out for an encore, like Lady Gaga did one encore, one song. So she came. I think if you're going to come out and do an encore, do at least three more songs.
Well, here's a dirty little secret. The encore at the end of the show is not predetermined. The encore at the end of the show is predetermined if you're a big star to do a song, maybe a couple of songs. But that's always subject to change, because if you got an act that's gassed, or maybe the show didn't go exactly the way you want, or maybe the band members want to kill each other, that will change. There's no locked-in encore. I mean, they know what they're going to do.
I didn't know that.
No, but there's times where you think there's definitely going to be an encore, and you know, like come out and do one song. One song's kind of weird for an encore.
It's lame.
But don't you think when there's the one song that artist didn't do, they're like, I can't believe he didn't play that.
Yeah.
And he comes out and does it in the encore, that's not predetermined?
No, I'm saying there's a predetermined set list and a predetermined encore thing that they'll do, which, you know, if they're mostly established act, they may change it up a little. Like Springsteen would do Santa Claus is Coming to Town, even if it was July, you know, and the crowd would go nuts because, you know, the big man would put on the Santa Claus hat and everything would be great. But there's times where you'll go out, and if it's feeling great, the act might do three or four or five.
I didn't know that. I thought
or a double encore.
Predetermined. Oh yeah, I like the double.
The
encore
double encore
too.
Where you go off and they start, you know, going nuts again. Because here's how you know it's over: when the house lights go up and you're the last person there.
It's true, right?
Yeah.
And then this is a sure sign you're getting old. I had a feeling that she was only gonna. This was gonna be her only encore, so I started to leave as she was finishing the song, which is how bad is that? That's a sure sign of you're too old to be going to a Lady Gaga concert.
Rick called from the 847 said he saw Springsteen as a warm-up act. How about that? Who is he warming up for, Rick?
This was a concert about 35 years ago in Baltimore. I don't know who the main act was, but he was the warm-up act, and it was only $2 to get into the concert.
Well, you know what? Your clock's off, buddy. I bet it was closer to 45 years ago, because by the middle 70s, he was on the cover of Time and Newsweek.
Yeah, I have been hanging out my kitchen wall.
So how about that? How about that?
Wait,
Springsteen is a warm-up act.
Didn't you see The Doors as an opening band?
No, I saw the... No, they had the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band opening for them.
Oh, but he saw The Doors.
I saw Boston open for Linda Ronstadt.
Really?
Yeah. First concert I ever went to. I was 16 years old, 15 years old. Linda Ronstadt in a cheerleader's outfit. Hello. Well, then, not
wow.
now.
Wow. Must have been great.
Well, I stand corrected then about the encore thing. I always thought it was... It was all preset, and we're just kind of being strung along.
I thought it was preset, too. I didn't know they could
There's
mix it up.
There's a theatrical piece to it, but there also is a thing. Because mentally, you think about it. The show ends at 10, right? So if the show ends at 10, you're mentally thinking, what am I going to do at 10:01 or 10:02 or 10:03? Okay, if the show ends at 10, the concert ends whenever it ends. The last song, you know what the last song in the set is? The concert ends. So a guy's dying on stage. He goes, at least I can go backstage and get water. A hooker, liquor, and I know I've got that coming up. Okay, three more songs, two more songs. So it's a predetermined break to have to get off stage. It's not about how loud you applaud. It's not about how crazy you're going.
If you're lighting your match or any of that.
Right. Remember the time like I took you to the Air Supply show and you took your shirt off and climbed on my shoulders and you were pumping
so
your fists.
Cool. Yeah,
sorry
cool.
I couldn't go to that with you guys.
That was great.
Sounds like I missed it.
Speaking of odd clothing, Lady Gaga. You won't believe what Bethany Frankel, wasn't she a real housewife?
Oh, yeah, skinny margarita Bethany Frankel.
Yeah, whatever. Here's the Bethany Frankel story. She dressed up in her 4-year-old daughter's pajamas and took an Instagram picture and put it on Instagram. Why do I need to see that?
What, to show that she could fit into that?
Well, it's got to be it, right?
I hope that's the only reason. That's just weird.
How big's her 4-year-old?
Okay. Exactly.
She wore her 4-year-old's clothing.
Pajamas, yeah.
Were they footy pajamas?
The 43-year-old skinny girl cocktail creator made a point of putting on her 4-year-old daughter Bryn's Hello Kitty pajamas, snapping a photo of herself and sharing it online.
Okay. Burn or bury the picture, which I know it can never happen because it's out there now, but her daughter is never going to forgive her for that.
No, well, can you imagine? I mean, all the horrible humans on that Real Housewives nonsense. I mean, all their kids have got to be in therapy for the rest of their lives.
That's true.
All right, 9:40 now. We welcome Attorney General Lisa Madigan back to the program with some good news. And how are you, by the way? And good morning.
Good morning. I'm fine. And how are you?
Doing fine. I hope you had a great weekend. And thank you for calling and breaking some news here.
You guys are the first people I'm talking to about Citigroup.
And I appreciate that. Let's start with the good news about Citigroup because it involves pensions and, we need more good news around here. So what do you got?
I hear that. So today, as part of the larger Citigroup settlement that's taking place with the Department of Justice and a number of the states, we will be recovering $84 million in relief and benefits to both the state pension funds as well as consumers in the state. So $44 million will be actually going to the three state pension funds. And that's good news because, as we are all painfully aware, those pension funds are dealing with a massive underfunding right now. So it's being recovered as part of the mortgage-backed securities investigation that I've been involved in for a number of years with the Department of Justice, really in the aftermath of all the problems we had with the risky subprime mortgages back around, 2000, mid-2000s.
2006, 2007, and 2008, and 2009, and all the fallout from it. And Citigroup clearly engaged in shady marketing and other things. And this is a great decision because, as you said, $44 million will actually go to the teachers' retirement system, and then $40 million more in consumer relief. That's kind of a general term. Do we know what consumer relief means?
Sure. Consumer relief is going to mean everything from mortgage modifications, principal write-downs, refinancing, as well as blight reduction directed at communities that are still hard hit and trying to recover from the crisis. And so it's a wide range of opportunities that we have to continue to try to, recover after really the worst financial crisis, most of us have ever lived through.
Lisa, will this filter all the way down? Because I know people are going to hear two key words here, mortgage holder and Citigroup. Will this focus all the way down to, say, the individual homeowner who has a mortgage with Citigroup, or just businesses?
So it can. Here's the situation. Similar to what we did back in 2012 when we announced the National Mortgage Foreclosure Settlement, there were really two key components. One was a direct payment to some homeowners. Others, people, the banks were allowed to do things such as write down principal, modify those mortgages in different ways by lowering the interest rates, do refinancings. So, yes, some of this relief, if you hold a Citibank mortgage, you will be in a position to potentially benefit from that. I would encourage you to reach out either to Citibank or reach out to my office. We would be happy to see if there is relief available for you, because $40 million of that relief must come to Illinois and Illinois homeowners and other consumers.
Well, last year it was J.P. Morgan. Now it's Citibank. And I know the Justice Department says more is coming. Have you got some more on your radar?
We do have more on our radar, but we have no more to announce today on that front.
No, I understand that, but we want to know that you're out there chasing down more bad guys.
We are. You know, even before we announced the National Mortgage Foreclosure Settlement, I think in February of 12, we had already announced that I was part of a working group that is looking at these residential mortgage-backed securities, which are really the investments that were created from the lousy mortgages that people were lured into entering in the first place. And given these terrific ratings by the rating agencies, which, by the way, we actually have ongoing litigation against Standard & Poor's over that. So there is more to come. Unfortunately, you know, we are not done cleaning up from this mess.
And if you have any additional comments to this, but I just want to make the point that there are some cynics who would say, hey, it's a tough world. Walk it off. Buyer beware. You shouldn't have gotten into a mortgage you couldn't handle and so on and so on. If you're conned, you're conned. And these are my words, not yours. But what these big banks were engaging in amounted to, in a lot of cases, an elevated con, especially, as you just said, when it's backed up by high ratings from the services that are designed to tell you whether or not it's a good deal.
Listen, Steve, I'd be happy to adopt those words as mine as well.
Right.
You know, we have investigated these situations for almost 10 years now, maybe more, and we've consistently found that, you know, people, even when they, you know, went in and told people what their income was, they had their income inflated, they were put into mortgages that were actually designed never to be sustainable. It really was part of a very large con, and it had a dreadful repercussion on our entire economy and on families, even people who had no involvement whatsoever in those mortgages. I mean, the millions of people who lost their jobs around this country, it's all attributable to what happened because of the mortgage market. And it really was a terrible thing. And we will continue to do our best to hold those companies accountable and help clean up.
Attorney General Lisa Madigan, news conference this morning at the Thompson Center at 10:30. Good enough to come on with us before that. And there's a student loan debt announcement that you're going to announce about debt scams. Right.
We thought this was going to be our big news this morning, not Citigroup.
And then the Citigroup came down, yeah.
But this is really important as well. So right now around the country, there are 40 million Americans who hold over $1.2 trillion in outstanding student loan debt. And what we're starting to see are a large number of these people who are unable to make their payments or are really struggling to, not entirely dissimilar to what we saw when people were struggling with their mountain of credit card debt or dealing with their mortgages. What happens is there are these unscrupulous operators out there that target these people with very aggressive advertising, promising kind of these too-good-to-be-true results. We can completely eliminate your student debt. We can cut your student debt in half. And so people call. What then ends up happening is they're pressured into giving their bank account information or their credit card information. A very large payment, sometimes as much as almost $1,200, is taken out, and they are ultimately either never enrolled in any sort of a program to help them, or you know, they later find out they simply don't qualify. And the real terrible thing about this scam, although there's many parts of it, one is that it's illegal in Illinois to take money from somebody up front for so-called debt relief or debt settlement services. The other real problem is that, unfortunately, these services are available at no cost from the federal government. The Department of Education does have a number of programs, if you are struggling to make your loan payments, that you may qualify for. Get on the Department of Education's website and find out that information, or feel free to call our office, because we want people to know what their legitimate options are, and that information and the programs are all available for free.
You know, and these cockroaches, they prey on the most vulnerable people, because you think about it. Your kids go into school, you got a tuition bill coming,
And maybe you just realized, you know what, I didn't have what I think I had. I really need some help here. When you're under that kind of pressure and you want your kid to be able to have access to everything that you want them to have in life and to maximize their life, you're going to make poor decisions.
That, right. And I mean, we end up seeing situations where, you know, very well-meaning students and their families have gotten into a lot of debt. Sometimes it's because they've ended up signing up at these for-profit colleges that are providing substandard educations at an incredibly high price. And so when you look across the country, 10% of students are enrolled in for-profit colleges, but 47%, so nearly 50%, nearly half of the student loans that are in default are held by people who went to a for-profit institution. And that is really a red flag about the quality of those programs and then the ability of somebody to get a job to pay those loans once they do graduate.
I think so. The key word, too, that you said, Lisa, was upfront, no money upfront.
Right.
And I think a lot of people see that, oh, you know, if I pay this certain amount of money, and everybody's fallen, you know, not everybody, but many people have fallen victim to this and other scams as well. But is that a key? If it says money upfront, that should be one of the biggest red flags?
Absolutely. And so if anyone is asking you for money upfront for some sort of a debt relief or a debt settlement service, do not pay it. That is illegal here in the state of Illinois. We made it illegal years ago when we started seeing, you know, just this terrible wave of scams, both in terms of the mortgage rescue scams, as we called them, you know, the people who claimed they could get you a modification and deal with your bank. And then it was the credit card scams when people were saying, hey, we can, you know, we can eliminate 70%, 40% of your credit card debt. Again, completely untrue. The scam always involves them taking your money up front. Oftentimes, it also involves them taking a monthly payment from you. All they're doing is draining the resources that you barely have at that point, even to make your payments on your legitimate debt. Do not make upfront payments to people. It is illegal. If you are doing so or you have done so, I really strongly encourage you to contact our office because we have a lot of ongoing investigations.
We will let you go and get ready for the press conference at 10:30. You'll be on the news tonight, obviously, and a website for the Attorney General's office.
It is IllinoisAttorneyGeneral.gov, all spelled out.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too, Lisa Madigan, the Attorney General. That's great stuff.
Yep.
It's great stuff. You know, and for all the knocking we do for Springfield, in which they've earned, when good stuff is happening, we need to let you know. So well done by Lisa Madigan. Pete McMurray, Summer Beer Cruise, a week from tomorrow, 7 to 9. With Benny's. That's right, Benny's. Go to WGNRadio.com for your chance to win Cubs cards tickets tomorrow. Ana DeVellantes will be on the show tomorrow. She'll be in the studio with us. We're out of time, so let me get you a couple stories here, and we're out of time. Feminists are raging over the Football 101 for Women clinic at the University of Colorado. They say that it's sexist, and assuming that women don't know football is insulting. It's singling out women is that they don't understand how to do things, says Lindsay Howard, a 2002 graduate. Another angry alum, Sarah McLaughlin from 96, said she thought it was a hoax. Makes me embarrassed. Seems medieval. She added she'd withhold donations. How about you get outraged about the amount of money it costs to go to the University of Colorado? How about you get outraged about something that really could change and benefit?
Was that the Sarah
as
McLaughlin?
Opposed to a football clinic, which is meant to just be a good time. Pizza, it's rolling out an 8-inch cookie pizza. Just another example of the end of the world. That's all I have to tell you about that.
Cookie pizzas, Kevin.
I'm going to save some of this tech stuff for tomorrow. But quite possibly the dumbest human ever in Pamplona. We got to get our Pamplona buddy back on tomorrow, too. Bill
Hillman.
Bill Hole in his leg. The H in Hillman stands for hole in his leg. In Pamplona, a bull runner has been caught on camera slowing the, what would it be called, the peloton? The bulleton? Where all the bulls and the people are running together? The peloton's where the bikes are. Would this be the bulleton? I think it'd be the bulleton.
That would be like a bulletin.
He slowed down his section of the race to take a selfie as the bulls closed in behind him.
Oh, how'd it come out?
Yeah, cool picture.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he survived. So, we're out of time. John Williams next at 720 WGN.